KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so the Supreme Court is currently considering whether to overrule Roe versus Wade. I actually think that what the Supreme Court is likely to do in this particular case is uphold the Mississippi law that would essentially bar abortion after the 15th week. I don't think they're going to overrule Roe versus Wade. I think you're going to end up with a split decision. In Planned Parenthood versus Casey, you really never ended up with a solid majority decision. You had a majority for certain principles, and then you had four justices voting for one thing and four justices voting for another thing. I think that what emerges from this case is likely to be a mess. I think that it is not going to be something as clear as even viability, which is an unclear and stupid standard. I think it'll be less clear than that. I don't think it's going to be the trimester framework of Roe versus Wade. I don't know what it's going to be. I do think that we are optimistic on the pro-life side if we think that Roe versus Wade is going to be completely overturned, even though that ought to be the outcome here. And here's the thing. Even if Roe versus Wade is overturned, the law in New York is not going to be the same as the law in Mississippi. And everybody who studies law understands this, because that was the case before Roe versus Wade. California had some pretty liberal abortion laws. New York had some pretty liberal abortion laws. And Texas had some pretty strict abortion laws before Roe versus Wade went into place. Nonetheless, the fact that the Supreme Court is now considering the possibility of disestablishing a constitutional right to abortion, which, again, does not exist. It was made up out of whole cloth in an entire line of cases stretching all the way back to Griswold through Eisenstadt v. Baird, all the way up through Planned Parenthood versus Casey. That supposed constitutional right to abortion was made up directly out of the colons of Supreme Court justices who had political leanings in favor of a pro-choice position. Even if it were overruled, if ladies wanted to get abortions, all they have to do is not be in Texas. And they could go over the border to Mexico, and presumably they'd be able to get an abortion there. They could go over to California, get an abortion there. Listen, I would prefer a nationwide regime wherein no one can get an abortion except in cases where the mother's life is in danger. But that's not the way the federalist system works. And because of that, that means that there will be state differences in how abortion law is applied. But the left is losing it. They are losing it. And the reason they're losing it is because once you remove the constitutional right to abortion, once you say that there is no constitutional right to abortion, this brings back into play the rules of nature. And this is something that the left has been fighting very hard, as I pointed out yesterday. For the left, equality of outcome is the only metric of success in a society. And there are certain natural barriers to equality of outcome in every arena of life. And some people are taller, some people are shorter, some people are dumber, some people are smarter. One of the great obstacles to equality of outcome in life are physical differences between men and women. Men and women do not operate the same way. Their bodies do not operate the same way. And women very often make choices that are dependent on their ability to bear and rear children. And they like those choices for the most part. This has been the greatest superpower of women since time immemorial, is that women are capable of bearing children and then feeding the children with their own body and bringing those children up. And by the way, when women are given the opportunity to take time off from the workforce to spend time with children, they are far more likely to do so than fathers are. And so the attempt to crack down on motherhood, which has been an aspect of the far left, has now taken over the entire left. So the left used to say that abortion used to be, it should be rare in very circumscribed cases because, you know, it's really a bad thing and you need to allow it to be legal because you never know, something really bad could happen. You might need an abortion, right? That used to be the case. Now it is a centralized aspect of femininity that abortion be there. It is central to womanhood that you be able to terminate your pregnancy. This is a very different position than the position that the left used to hold even as late as the 1990s pretty consistently. Now the position is that in order for women to achieve the same outcomes as men, women have to be able to, for any reason, rid their bodies of a human life with potential. And so the fact that the Supreme Court is now considering getting rid of the quote-unquote constitutional right to abortion means that the left has lost its mind. And they're going to spout nonsense and craziness and make arguments that have no internal logic to them. And this is what happened all day yesterday. All day yesterday, you got from the media just the craziest positions, unsustainable, illogical, insane, immoral positions being spouted by the left on a regular basis. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, the message from our partners over at Taser.
With violent crime on the rise across the country, life is more dangerous than ever. It's time for safer self-defense with Taser, the perfect non-lethal sidekick to your self-defense arsenal. Taser's energy weapons can stop threats before, during, and after you pull the trigger. Designed for home defense, your daily commute, and everywhere you need to keep your family safe. Take the Taser Pulse Plus. From 15 feet away, it can lock up an attacker's muscles for up to 30 seconds, so you can escape safely. And when paired with your phone, the Taser Pulse Plus alerts emergency dispatchers with your GPS location as soon as you pull the trigger. And when you have to fire yours, Taser will replace it for free. Get the same Taser technology trusted by police officers across the country since 1993. Giving you the confidence to pull the trigger and safer self-defense.
Get Taser Pulse Plus today and save 15% when you go to Taser.com and enter promo code SAVE. Spelled TASER.com, promo code SAVE. Supplies are limited. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, so one of the questions that you should be asking yourself when it comes to the left's perspective on abortion is why they feel this way about abortion particularly. And it's kind of strange. So if you go back and you read early Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood, she was quite anti-abortion. Margaret Sanger thought that it was a threat to human life, abortion. Margaret Sanger was in favor of contraception. She was in favor of birth control. But abortion as a method of birth control is something that was opposed by even wild leftists in the 1920s, 1930s, when Margaret Sanger was a prominent political figure in the United States. And birth control is now widely available in the United States. It's universally available in the United States. It is not difficult to obtain birth control. In fact, the West has gotten so good at birth control that we are depopulating ourselves out of existence. Every Western country, with the exception of Georgia in Europe and Israel, has a below replacement rate population problem. Right? We are producing fewer children than there are parents in the population. In order to reproduce at replacement rates, you have to have at least 2.1 children per family. Right now, most of the West is at 1.7, 1.8, and Italy 1.3. Right? So we're very good at avoiding having babies, as it turns out. So why exactly is abortion such a necessity? And the answer is because in order for the left to maintain that equality of outcome is the only thing that matters, they have to say that every step along the way, the only thing that matters is the outcome for the woman, not the outcome for the baby. They have to say that for every step of the way, right? They cannot limit the principle to birth control. The obligation for a woman, it never exists, according to the left, because if there is an obligation for a woman that a man does not have, it's unfair, even if that obligation was created by basic mammalian biology. And so you end up with the specter of people on the left arguing that pregnancy itself is some sort of enemy. It's an obstacle to be overcome. Because after all, women can get pregnant, but men cannot. Although the left takes a conflicting position about this. Now they say that men can get pregnant. So this really should obviate the abortion debate, really. Because if the left's idea is that pregnancy is an inherent bad because it makes men and women fundamentally unequal, well, problem solved. Men can get pregnant now, and women can have balls, according to most of the left. But they get rid of that argument the minute that it becomes inconvenient, because after all, it just happens to be a biological fact and only women can get pregnant, of course. And they have to acknowledge that in the context of abortion. It's weird how fast that language, pregnant people, went away. And no more chest feeding around here. Right? That lasted purely as long as we were attempting to castigate Republicans as bigots. But the minute we're talking about abortion, it's back to pregnant women, and only women should have an opinion on abortion, and only women can get pregnant. Okay, so we begin yesterday with Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi seems to, it is amazing to hear the party of science declare that babies in the womb don't exist. They just don't exist. Now, my sister sent me an ultrasound of her kid in the womb yesterday. My sister, classically Abby, up in Virginia, she sent me a picture of her ultrasound. And it's a 3D ultrasound. That is a baby, my friends. Okay, we are talking about like a full face. I can see the features of the baby's face. I know that that the baby looks like my sister and my sister's husband, right? I can see all of it. That is a baby. It is not a cluster of cells. It is not a meaningless potential human life. It is none of those things. But the left tries to claim that the reason they are pro-abortion is because they are pro-science, which is a complete lie. So here's Nancy Pelosi lecturing us on the birds and the bees, which, by the way, I got to tell you, Nancy Pelosi lecturing people on the birds and the bees might end the practice of sex permanently. Like, no one should be forced to watch this clip because no one will ever want to have sex again after listening to Nancy Pelosi talk about going after it.
From what they have said about not respecting precedents at stare decisis, all of that is troubling. And what they have said about, sometimes I think they need a session in the birds and the bees for some of the kinds of statements that they make. I say that as mother five.
Okay, and this has become a commonplace rote talking point on the left, is that people who are pro-life need an explainer on sex. I'm pretty sure you guys need the explainer on sex because you seem to think that sex and pregnancy are completely disconnected. Well, that's not the way it works. You don't catch a pregnancy. You're not just in a room like COVID and you're 5 feet away from somebody for 15 minutes and magically you're pregnant. That's not the way any of this works. Nor typically do people slip and fall on penises and randomly get pregnant. That's not how that works either. So, nope. Actually, it turns out that for all of human history, and again, all of mammalian history, sex has led to pregnancy. It is only since the 1960s that we've been able to scientifically disconnect sex from pregnancy in any sort of consistent way. I mean, if you go all the way back to the 1940s, for example, what you will see is that the plurality of marriages in the United States happened post-pregnancy, meaning that there were a lot of seven-month babies happening in the 1940s, a lot of shotgun marriages happening because sex was connected to pregnancy, as it always has been. And for most of the world, still is, by the way. And it's only in the West that we've been able to scientifically uncouple sex from pregnancy, I think in many ways to our great moral detriment. But then it's not just Nancy Pelosi lecturing us about how sex works. It's Joy Behar. Again, I got to say, the people who are being brought forth by the Democrats to lecture Americans on how sex works, it's disturbing. And whatever is the opposite of a turn on, this would be it right here.
It's a very interesting schism that goes on here, because on the one hand, sex sells everywhere. I mean, you can't see an aspirin commercial without somebody having sex. Mm-hmm. You cannot turn on any program, especially on
Except
streaming, where people are having this. There's soft porn everywhere now.
Right.
They encourage all of that. It sells everything. Sex sells. Yeah. And yet when it comes to the reality of pregnancy, this particular group of people on the right in this country and these religious zealots do not understand the reality of what happens when you have sex.
Wait, I'm confused. Maybe you don't understand the reality of what happens when you have sex, which is the possibility of pregnancy. Always and forever, unless you tie your tubes. So, like, I have to say, I'm absolutely bewildered by the perspective of the left that people on the right don't understand sex because they believe in human life in the womb. I'm pretty sure you guys don't understand sex because it seems like you think that sex is basically like kissing and that it doesn't transmit any sort of risk of pregnancy, sex, or that the product of sex, the natural product of sex, By the way, the entire evolutionary biology reason that sex exists, okay, sex does not exist as an evolutionary biological phenomenon, predominantly in order so that people can stimulate each other's nerve endings. It exists predominantly as an evolutionary biological phenomenon in order for the procreation of species. That is the dominant biological drive, right? That is why that is there. How they say that these are the people who are lecturing us on sex? Seriously? Really? Okay, so that's an argument they've been attempting to trot out. Alrighty, coming up, we are getting into the pro-choice positions against the pro-life positions, and let us just say they are lacking. We've already heard that conservatives don't understand sex, even though it is the left that apparently thinks that sex and procreation are completely disconnected. They don't stop there. Also, they say that only women should have opinions about abortion, except that they also believe that some women have testicles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Reading Garden of Lights, featuring two stages of live music, food trucks and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's give it a honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God can't about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
The official meeting of the business to business meeting is called to order. Business to business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left has a series of conflicting positions when it comes to abortion. One, they say that conservatives don't understand sex, which, again, is odd, since at least we understand that sex and procreation are inherently connected. But two, they argue that only women should be able to talk about abortion, even though they also think that some women have balls. You cannot simultaneously hold the position that trans men are men, trans women are women, and also that only biological women get to have an opinion on abortion. Those are not consistent positions. You cannot hold them. They are mutually exclusive. Okay, but in left world, you can hold whatever positions you want. They are the Kama Sutra of political positions. Any position you want, anytime. Here is Whoopi Goldberg lecturing us all on why only women should be able to speak about abortion. Even this makes no sense.
Do any of you men have any eggs or the possibility of carrying a fetus? How dare you talk about what a fetus wants? You have no idea. Now, I'm fine if you disagree with abortion. I have no problem with that. My problem comes when you tell me what I need to do with my doctor and my family. How dare you? How dare you?
Okay, I've noticed that you guys don't have the same live and let live approach to any other issue in American life. You have to very live and let live when it comes to abortion. I don't care if you have a baby, but you can't tell me whether I can kill my baby in the womb. Also, you need to bake that cake for that gay couple right the hell now. Okay, so let's begin with the conflicts in this clip, because it really is indicative of how self-defeating the left position is on these things. So again, she begins with the preposition, with the proposition that men do not have eggs. The entire left now believes that men have eggs. Trans men are men, right? The clappy hand emoji. Okay, then my favorite is that she just switches right over into, if you're not a woman, how can you speak for the fetus? Okay, we're going to have to stop you right there, Whoopi. All of us have been fetuses. I have been a fetus. You have been a fetus, Whoopi Goldberg. Male, female, all of the three 100,200 genders. All of us have been fetuses at some point. So all of us could have a perspective on what a fetus would want. Also, I don't feel like it's such an assumption as to what the fetus wants. I will grant you that I may not know what a fetus might want in terms of, say, food taste. But I feel like a baseline thing a fetus doesn't want is to have somebody chop their head up in the womb and suck them into a sink. I have a feeling that, like, that seems like a real easy one. Mainly because I'm not sure that any living creature is super interested in having somebody jab a syringe into them and pump poison into their veins so that they die and then are flushed down a toilet. I'm pretty sure there are not a lot of living creatures at all who are interested in that. So I don't think I have to be a woman to understand what a fetus wants. I think all I have to be is a baseline human being with a shred of decency to understand what a fetus wants. Again, not to have your body chopped up would be like number, that's not number 10 on the list. That one's like number one with a bullet on the list. Okay, they don't have it. It is just ire. That's all they have. They just have rage at the world and rage at biology and rage at the reality that there are certain burdens to being a woman that do not exist for men. And one of those burdens is, and when I say burden, I mean blessing. One of those massive blessings, the greatest blessing in life, is the capacity to bear and rear children. It is literally how the human species exists. It is how we move forward. It is the greatest, the degradation of what women are by the left to, well, you know, you're just treating women as incubators. No, you are treating women as incubators. I'm treating women as wholesome human beings who have a magical superpower to generate children, which is the greatest thing in life. Honest to God, I think that men should be jealous of women that they get to do this. You talk about God-given gifts and abilities. It's an unreal thing. It's an unreal thing. Having watched my wife be pregnant three times, give birth to all three of our children, it is an experience unlike any other. And I'll tell you something. My wife, who was, yeah, she had real pregnancy, morning sickness, and she had a hard birth the last couple of times. I can tell you, she is grateful for every moment of it, including the pain, because we got the kids at the end of it. And because it's an unbelievable thing, the degradation of pregnancy to it's just a bad thing that happens, sort of like a bad bowel movement, is so disgusting and dismissive of what women are and what babies are. It really is a degradation of what life is. But this is, if your view of humanity is that true equality is women have to give up what makes women uniquely human, that women should give up what makes them uniquely human, and that any imposition on a woman such that she is not allowed to kill her own child in the womb is somehow an undermining of her autonomy, then your perception of autonomy is sick. There is something deeply wrong with your perception of autonomy. We're not talking about what she can do with her own body. We're talking about what she can do with the child inside her own body. Pramila Jayapal, for her part, was in panic mode, the progressive congresswoman from Washington State. Here she was yesterday freaking out over the Supreme Court.
It was a devastating hearing for millions of women across this country, for millions of people across this country who are watching the Supreme Court actually look like they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade and take us back into the days of back alley abortions. This is personal to me. I am one of the 1 in 4 women in America who has had an abortion. It was a very difficult choice for me to make, but it was my choice, Jose. And that is what we need to preserve for every person across the country that has to be in that situation.
No, that is not what we have to preserve. Because in no other area of life, period, do we say that your choices with regard to other human beings' lives, whether they get to be preserved or not, is your choice. The fundamental position of the left for forever has been, and the right, by the way, of any humane person, has been that you are not supposed to other types of human beings, right? You're not supposed to say this group of human beings is not fully human, and therefore we can treat them however we want. That is legitimately what the left does with unborn human beings. They say this group of people are not people. They are not people, so we can flush them down a toilet. It is the greatest othering that is possible to happen. And it's quite vile. But pro-abortion activists, of course, were very emotional yesterday. Here were some of those pro-abortion activists getting upset yesterday.
We'll be asking protesters on both sides of the aisle what our country would look like without Roe v. Wade. Let's go see what they have to say.
It'll look like women going to jail.
A lot of women will die, or they will be forced into a life of poverty.
A lot of women are telling me that women will die if Roe is overturned.
I think that's happening already.
It's really scary because it puts a lot of people in immediate physical danger, and I just don't want to see that happen.
It's putting women in physical danger to give birth to babies, as opposed to the 100% danger that is presented by killing the child in the womb. That is a that is not a risk of danger for the child in the womb. That is a guarantee of death. Alrighty, in just one second, we're going to get to another argument that the left is now making. The pro-choice left, they are delusional. I have an article for you. Wow. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 1460 AM.
The Palo Cedro Chamber of Commerce presents the 27th Annual Country Christmas Family Celebration, Friday, December 3rd, from 8 to 5 p.m. Come enjoy food and spirited drinks, vendors and shopping, local entertainment, crafts, games and photo ops with Santa for the kids, and sleigh bed races, and win a $1,000 grand prize in the gingerbread contest. Yes, it's all happening on Friday, December 3rd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Holiday Market Village in Palo Cedro. See you there.
Schedule a demo.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left is truly delusional when it comes to their pro-choice absolutism. They've already said that sex and procreation are completely separate. A lie. They've already said that if you're not a woman, you can't have a perspective on abortion, which again is sort of akin to slave owners saying that if you're not a slave owner, you can't have a perspective on ownership of slaves. And slave owners saying to people in the North, listen, you've never lived the life of a slave owner. So you don't know what it's like to live with a slave. You don't know what the slaves actually want. No, I pretty much do. And they don't want to be slaves. How about that? And now you get to the argument that the left is, they've forced themselves into a corner by embracing abortion as a moral good. Again, their early argument, which is that abortion is tragic and sad and is necessary on rare circumstances, it's not good enough for them. And the reason it's not good enough is because you can legislate around that. You can say, well, what circumstances are we talking about? And then you can weigh, as a legislative body, whether the circumstances we are currently discussing make some sort of excuse or justification for abortion in particular cases. Whether there ought to be legal dispensations, for example, for abortion in cases where a mother's life is in danger, which pretty much all pro-lifers agree there should be. Okay, but because they want abortion across the board, like beginning to end, 2 points of birth in the case of Ralph Northam in Virginia, sometimes beyond, because that is what they want out of this policy debate, they then have to downgrade all other possible choices. So we have to pretend, number one, that contraception doesn't exist, which of course it does. If you want to avoid pregnancy, I have a great pro-choice position for you. Either one, don't have sex outside the bonds of marriage. I know this one is really passe. I know we're not allowed to talk about the fact that premarital sex is actually not a morally good thing. Okay, that it is bad and it creates bad risks and downriver risks in terms of getting pregnant out of wedlock. I know we're not supposed to talk about that anymore because it's super passe to talk about baseline sexual morality in the society. But as somebody who did wait until marriage to have sex, and so did my wife, and now we have three beautiful children within the context of a stable and healthy marriage, I can safely say that the sacrifice was worth it because we have a stable and healthy marriage with beautiful children. Okay, but that is one way that you downscale the risk of pregnancy is don't have sex outside of a context in which you are okay having a baby. Okay, that is the number one way. Number two, we have birth control. This also downscales the risk of getting pregnant tremendously. You can do all of that. Birth control is widely available. You can get birth control right now. You can go down to the local Planned Parenthood. They'll give you a pill. They will give you a condom. You can go down to your local Rite Aid and do it too. You don't have to go to Planned Parenthood. And you knew all of those things. So they have to downgrade that. They have to pretend those don't exist. The only option for women is apparently to get pregnant and then use the murder of the subsequent child as the backup form of birth control. Okay, but then there's another argument, right, which the right makes correctly, which is, well, there is another option. If you don't want to have the baby in the sense that you don't want to take care of the baby, you think that it's going to ruin your life, you think that you want to pursue those 2,200 billable hours, you think you're too poor, you think you don't have your life set up, there's another option, and that is you could not kill the kid, and you could let the kid be adopted. And this option is taken by literally hundreds of thousands of people every year. And now the left has to downgrade that. That's how far they've gone in this direction. There's an absolutely delusional and insane psychotic article today from Elizabeth Spears, who's a Democratic digital strategist. It's called, I Was Adopted. I Know the Trauma It Can Inflict. That's right. The left is so addicted to abortion that now they're going to pretend that adoption is bad. That's how addicted to abortion they are. They're trying to remove all other possibilities. So no marriage, no birth control, no abstinence before marriage. And now adoption is bad and creates conflict. Here is Elizabeth Spears. This is just psychotic crap. It truly is psychotic. Quote, on Wednesday, as the Supreme Court heard oral arguments from state attorneys seeking to uphold Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, Justice Amy Coney Barrett kept getting at one question. Why was abortion necessary when women who do not want to be mothers can simply give up their babies for adoption? Again, this is an op-ed in the New York Times. As an adoptee myself, I was floored by Justice Barrett's assumption that adoption is an accessible and desirable alternative for women who find themselves unexpectedly pregnant. She may not realize it, but what she is suggesting is that women don't need access to abortion because they can simply go do a thing that is infinitely more difficult, expensive, dangerous, and potentially traumatic than terminating a pregnancy during its early stages. Wait, hold on. More difficult, dangerous, and potentially traumatic to whom? The entire left-wing position rests on the complete dehumanization of a preborn child. That's what it rests on. Right? Oh, it's so dehumanizing. I mean, here we have an option where the kid lives and just goes to another family that wants a baby. Or we have the option of you stab it in the face. Those are the two choices. And, you know, I got to say, it's really dehumanizing to say that maybe the baby should live and go to another family, says Elizabeth Spears. And this is, she's writing as an adopted kid. So how does she make that case? Because if her mother had made that choice, as Ronald Reagan used to say, the only pro-choice people who exist are people whose mothers chose otherwise. Right? As an adoptive mother herself, Justice Barrett should have some inkling of the complexities of adoption and the toll it can inflict on children as well as birth mothers. But she speaks as if adoption is some kind of idyllic fairy tale. My own adoption actually was what many would consider idyllic. I was raised by two adoptive parents, Alice and Terry, from the time I was an infant, and grew up in a home where I knew every day I was loved. A few years ago, I found my biological mother, Maria, and three siblings I didn't know I had via a DNA test and Facebook. The first time I spoke to Maria on the phone, says Elizabeth Spears, she lives in Alabama, not too far from my parents. I live in Brooklyn. She apologized repeatedly for giving me up, told me she loved me, and I would always be her family. You are blood, she would say later. I told her and continue to tell her every time she brings it up, the apology is unnecessary. I had a wonderful childhood. I believe she made the right decision. But she remains heartbroken about the years we missed together. Okay, so question. She remains heartbroken about the years we missed together. You know what years you would have missed together had she chosen to flush you down a toilet? All of them. There would be no years together. And guess what? Her heartbreak over giving you up for adoption? That is a downside risk to the massive upside of you being alive to write this op-ed. And okay, so back to this piece, again, in the New York Times, about a woman who is adopted, but thinks adoption is not the option when it comes to adoption versus abortion. Quote, both Maria and my mom, Alice, oppose abortion on religious grounds. My mom is white and Southern Baptist. Maria is Hispanic and Pentecostal. Both like to point to me to justify their beliefs, saying that had Maria gotten an abortion, I would not exist. It's a familiar argument. The anti-abortion movement likes to invoke Nobel Prize winners who might never have materialized, or potential adoptees who might have cured cancer if they hadn't been aborted at 8 weeks. I'm no Nobel Prize winner, but I still resent being used as a political football by the right. I noticed that you're here to resent it. That's the thing I noticed. You're here to resent being used as a political football because you're not dead. That's one of the things I noticed. I believe that abortion is a form of health care and that every woman should have access to it if she needs it. Oh, do you? I love these sorts of euphemisms. I believe that murder is a form of cooking. Just fill in the blank with some random, completely bizarre non sequitur. You know, I believe that abortion is a form of sport. I believe that abortion is a form of art. I believe that abortion is a form of calligraphy. Like, what the? Healthcare for whom? Not the person you're killing. Perhaps more than that, I resent the suggestion by people like Justice Barrett that adoption is a simple solution. I resent it on behalf of Maria, who found the choice she made traumatizing and still feels that pain 44 years later. Even when an adoption works out well, as it did in my case, it is still fraught. Wait, so let me get this straight. You are alive to resent the adoption of you on behalf of your mother, who wanted to give you up for adoption and is happy she gave you up for adoption and feels morally blessed that you are alive and that she didn't murder you. But you resent that you are alive on behalf of the mother who is happy to keep you alive so that you could lead a good life where you end up as a Democratic strategist pumping out garbage like this for the New York Times. Honest to God, this is like a bizarre time loop from Back to the Future 2 in which you're alive to complain about the fact that you are alive. When I echo Maria in saying she gave me up, the language always rankles adoptive parents because it introduces an unpleasant complexity, implying that my birth mother was not completely happy with her choice, or worse, that it made her miserable. But that is sometimes the case, even when adoption is the best option for all involved. Adoption is not always an unallied good. It's a complicated choice in a situation that has no right or wrong answer. No, I found the wrong answer. It's killing you. That's it. Was it super hard? I feel like when the options are woman can keep child and struggle through the difficulties of raising a child as, say, a single mom, or woman can give up child to a two-parent family that is more prosperous and struggle with that decision. The choice that's bad is the one where you just kill the kid. That would be the wrong choice. So you have two choices, both of which have some costs on a personal level, and both of which have some benefits. but both of which have a pretty major upside, which is that you didn't murder the kid. That's like, do you understand the insane moral delusions you have to go through to come to a pro-choice position via this article? And yet this is in the New York Times. If the court overturns Roe versus Wade, says Elizabeth Speer in the New York Times, many women will be forced to give birth to children they did not want and did not feel they could afford to support. Well, you know, they forced to give the language of forced to give birth to children is so bizarre. It's so weird. Again, forced to get pregnant is one thing, because typically we call that rape. Right? If somebody is forced to get pregnant, that is a grave moral sin. Forced to give birth is, you mean, like, your body goes through the process that normally happens when you are, when a baby is conceived? You're forced to give birth assumes that there is, like, another natural option. There is no, the intervention is the termination of the pregnancy. It's sort of like saying water runs downhill, okay? And so if you take water and you put it at the top of a hill and it goes to the bottom of a hill, and I don't stop that water from running downhill, the water was forced to reach the bottom of the hill. No, if you rechannel the water, you're performing the intervention. There's a massive logical fallacy right here. Forced to give birth? Nope, that's the natural process. Just as no one forces you to have a digestive tract that processes food, you're not, like, what are we talking about here? But this does go to the baseline idea that there's a fundamental underlying idea, which is that biology is forced. These folks believe that there is a spirit in the machine and that any threat to that spirit of autonomy is an act of force and must be defeated. This is what unites the pro-abortion movement and the transgender movement, is the idea that biology is an obstacle to your greatest dreams and to your free-floating autonomy that is disconnected from your biological reality. But, says Elizabeth Spears, while pregnant, women will undergo the bonding with a child that happens by biological design as an embryo develops into a living, breathing, conscious human. And then that child will be taken away. Wait a sec. Hold up. Just hold up. I swear, every sentence here is just a gem of logical fallacy and insanity. So she's arguing against abortion. Let me read those sentences again. While pregnant, women will undergo the bonding with a child that happens by biological design as an embryo develops into a living, breathing, conscious human. And then that child will be taken away. Not taken away, you're giving it up for adoption. It's your decision. You could keep the child. Two, you know what takes the child away also? Again, I can't overstate this. You know what takes a child away and ends that bonding with the child? Killing it. Pretty good way of ending that bonding with the child. When I say, you make it sound like adoption is kidnapping. No, but I can tell you, what ends the biological design in which the embryo, you bond with the embryo and the fetus, that would be death. That ends that biological design. The right likes to suggest that abortion is a traumatic experience for women, a last resort, a painful memory. But adoption is often just as traumatic as the right thinks abortion is, if not more so, as a woman has to relinquish not a lump of cells, but a fully formed baby she has lived with for 9 months. Again, that's her decision as to whether she wishes to give the baby up for adoption. But the complete denial that there is another character in this story is the part that's truly galling. I'm a mother myself, says Elizabeth Spears, to an adorable 6-year-old self-proclaimed Fortnite expert, and is often the case. I did not know I was pregnant with him until the usual symptoms appeared a few weeks into the pregnancy. As anyone who has gestated a human will tell you, that's a romantic way of talking about pregnancy, gestated a human. There's a vast difference between the 4th week of pregnancy and the 40th. By the 40th, you're familiar with your baby's regular rhythms of kicking and moving. When I awoke, my son would wake up shortly after I'd feel him turning and stretching, or less pleasantly, jamming his precious little foot into what felt like my cervix. This is one of the paradoxes of pregnancy. Something alien is usurping your body and sapping you of nutrition and energy, but you're programmed to gleefully enable it, and you become desperately protective of it. It's a kind of biological brainwashing. And this often happens whether you want to be a parent or not. Right? She's just rebelling against biology. She's literally rebelling against biology. My own biology is telling me I should love my child. Damn you, biology, saying I should love my unborn child inside my womb, growing and learning to love me. How dare you, biology? This must be stopped. By the way, I assume that she's an abortion-on-demand fanatic, which means that even at the fourth, she says there's a difference between the 4th week and the 40th week. But I assume she doesn't want any legislation to protect the child at the 40th week. So, no. But that's so crazy. I'm sorry. It's so crazy to describe pregnancy as an experience where your biology takes over and forces you to love this mewling, evil leech inside your body. Are there a lot of women who feel this way about their kids? Really? I've yet to meet one. I've yet to meet one who feels that the child growing inside of her at week 30, when she feels the baby kicking and she knows it's a baby, that is a leech. She loves it, but she wishes she didn't love it. My God. Truly, truly despicable stuff. Justice Barrett says Elizabeth Spears is well aware of the kind of biological brainwashing that occurs during biological brainwashing. Again, the natural process of pregnancy is not biological brainwashing. Brainwashing implies force. It implies Clockwork Orange style. I strap you down to a chair and I force you to watch propaganda. And that is not what we're talking about. Biological brain. Do you mean the natural process of childbirth? She does. Justice Barrett is well aware of the kind of biological brainwashing that occurs during pregnancy. She gave birth to 5 children. And yet she blithely seems to assume that a mother can simply choose not to bond with the child she's gestating solely on the basis she's not ready to be a mother or believes she is unable to provide for the child. No, you assume that because you assume she can kill it. She assumes the mother will be supported financially and otherwise throughout the pregnancy, even in a country where maternal mortality statistics are abysmal. She assumes that children surrendered for adoption will find a home and not a bed in the foster care system. No, she doesn't assume any of these things. Adoption system should be revamped and made better. But no, she probably assumes these things because she cannot fathom being in this position herself. It should be noted that Justice Barrett has 2 adopted children. So, you're a crazy person. These are assumptions that stem from the privilege of being financially secure, having never needed an abortion, and perhaps the assumption that women who do have something that do have done something wrong and must face the consequences. Well, yes, I do believe that women who have abortion have done something morally wrong. Yes, that is true. That's the only part of this article I agree with. In my experience, some on the right believe that the trauma adoption inflicts is a consequence of irresponsibility. But unexpected pregnancy is not, as a facto function of bad decision-making, like 99%, it is a function of bad decision-making. It can be a failure of contraception, okay, in which, that's true, sometimes contraceptives fail, which is why you really shouldn't have sex outside of a context in which you're willing to get pregnant. The product of a rape, I know that's super controversial. It's only controversial in like the last couple of decades, by the way. Like before that, all of human history, the notion that you should only have sex in context in which you are willing to get pregnant, that was a baseline moral notion for literally all of human history. But now it's very controversial. It can be a failure of contraception, the product of a rape. That's literally the only circumstance that you can talk about, by the way, in which it is legitimately, in which pregnancy literally has no relation to the activity of the woman, right, is rape, which is why it's the most controversial aspect of abortion law. A mistaken belief that a woman is infertile. There is no justifiable reason to inflict harm on women and the babies they might produce in any of these situations, regardless of judgment. Wait, who's talking about inflicting harm on babies? You're talking about why a baby shouldn't be adopted. A baby should be murdered. That is what you're talking about. The trauma doesn't just affect mothers either. Researchers have a term for what children who are adopted, even as infants, may suffer from later in life. Relinquishment trauma. Okay, I have another term for what babies may suffer in the womb when they're killed, and it's just called death. So if I have a choice between death and relinquishment trauma, I'm going to go relinquishment trauma. We'll get to more of this in a second. I go through this detail to demonstrate just how far the left is willing to go. This is how far they are willing to go. Abortion is so sacred to them. It is such a sacrosanct issue to them that they are literally willing to say that it is better for a baby to be killed in the womb than to be given up to a happy family for adoption. Coming up, we're going to finish up this article from the New York Times. It is just a masterwork of delusional insanity. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson. Or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams, or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop-off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're going through this article from Elizabeth Spears in the New York Times today, arguing that adoption is bad, but abortion is good. If you have a choice between adoption and abortion, you should go for abortion, according to Elizabeth Spears, who was adopted herself. Quote, researchers have a term for what children who are adopted, even as infants, may suffer from later in life. Relinquishment trauma. The premise is that babies bond with their mothers in utero and become familiar with their behaviors. When their first caregiver is not the biological mother, they register the difference and the stress of it has lasting effects. See, if you're separated from mommy, you get relinquishment trauma. I'm sure that's true. You know what else causes trauma? Being stabbed in the head. It's a trauma, as it turns out. Being injected in the heart with poison. Little traumatic. Being flushed down a toilet. These seem like slightly more traumatic things than relinquishment trauma. Says Elizabeth Spear, I probably got off easy in that respect, in part because I did spend a few months with my biological mother before I was adopted. But that had the unintended effect of traumatizing my older siblings, who remember me as a baby who was there and then suddenly was gone. This was driven home to me by my older sister, Bobby, whose first encounter with me was over Facebook. All I can say is I remember you, she wrote, and I have loved you and missed you my entire life. As opposed to if you had been murdered, in which case you guys never would have met at all. What Justice Barrett and others are suggesting women do in lieu of abortion is not a small thing. It is life-changing, irrevocable, and not to be taken lightly. It often causes trauma, even when things work out. It's a disservice to adoptees and their families, biological and adopted, to pretend otherwise in service of a neat political narrative. Nope, again, I think that the neat political narrative is that adoption in all of these cases is better than killing somebody. I know so just to repeat, the left has now said contraception is not enough. You need to be able to kill a baby in the womb. They've said that sex is not connected to childbearing, which, of course, is very silly. They've suggested that the actual imposition is your biological process taking place. They've suggested that adoption is a worse option than abortion. All of these things are things they are willing to suggest in pursuit of an end goal, which is that men and women have to be physically equivalent in every way, which is unbelievably degrading to women. It truly, truly is. If this is the world that you want to live in with the left, then here's the thing. You'll be able to live in this world after Roe versus Wade is gone. All you have to do is live in New York. All you have to do is live in California. You'll still be able to live in this delusional, crazy world. And guess what? You will bear the consequences of living in that sort of world. But at least fewer babies across the country will have to suffer death at the hands of people who believe these sorts of delusional things. The arguments that the left has been forced to make in pursuit of their totalitarian anti-life position, truly astonishing, astonishing stuff, and should be humiliating to them if they had 1 ounce of humiliation left in them. These are shameful, anti-human arguments. These are shameful, immoral arguments that are being made here. And they're taken as perfectly natural and normal and, in fact, morally good by the left. I don't know how twisted you have to be in order to believe that these are morally good arguments, that these are morally superior arguments, and the people who wish to preserve human life are the baddies in this particular scenario. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The House Freedom Caucus plans to broaden its reach into state legislatures to provide conservative policymakers with resources and tools to push their legislative agendas.
The State Freedom Caucus Network will be led by longtime GOP strategist Andy Roth and House Freedom Caucus Executive Director Justin Wiemet, and has the direct support of the House Freedom Caucus. The State Freedom Caucus Network is intended to give support to conservative state lawmakers who have limited resources compared to what is available at the national level, according to the Washington Times. The House Freedom Caucus can help provide state-level lawmakers resources such as staffing, communication, strategy, tactics, and logistics that give them the space to deliver their message more effectively while pushing back on their own leadership from time to time. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The parents of a teen accused of killing four students at a Michigan high school this week have been charged with involuntary manslaughter. Authorities say they are searching for the couple. Their lawyer says that they will return to the area to face arraignment. The Kremlin says President Putin will seek binding guarantees precluding NATO's expansion to Ukraine during a planned phone call with President Biden, but White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki wouldn't provide any more details.
We have been engaged in the possibility of that. When we have that finalized, we will make that make you all aware of that. As you know, the president is somebody who believes in leader-to-leader diplomacy.
A U.S. intelligence report and the Ukrainian defense minister have warned of a possible Russian invasion as soon as next month. Speaking to reporters in Washington, Mr. Biden says his administration is putting together, quote, the most comprehensive and meaningful set of initiatives to prevent any Russian escalation. Meanwhile, earlier today, the president signed into law the stopgap spending bill that will keep the federal government running through February the 18th of 2022. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Investors, listen up. There's been incredible demand in the market for companies focused on strategic mineral exploration. And right now, mineral discovery groups are piling into British Columbia's prolific Golden Triangle due to the massive discovery potential. China's economy is slowing down. Consumer goods remain in short supply. Pandemic-induced disruptions continue to affect global supply chains. And now the markets are bracing for interest rate hikes. All of this reads like a recipe for paying attention to companies focused on precious metals and in-demand minerals. Find out about the hottest companies leading the charge to revolutionize the multi-billion dollar mineral exploration market for free when you text the word HOT to 71441 for your free subscription to DearWallStreet.com. Text the word HOT to 71441 now to get information on these hot companies that we've identified. Get free intelligence on this hot market delivered directly to your mobile device from DearWallStreet.com when you text the word HOT to 71441. Text and data rates may apply. Text HOT to 71441.
There are new reports spyware from NSO Group was used to hack State Department employees.
Apple iPhones of 11 U.S. State Department employees located in Uganda were hacked with spyware from Israel's NSO Group. A person familiar with the matter told the Associated Press Friday. The employees included some foreign service officers. It is the first known instance of NSO Group's Pegasus spyware being used against U.S. government personnel. NSO Group markets Pegasus to governments for use against terrorists and criminals, but it has allegedly been used to spy on human rights activists, journalists, and politicians as well. Last month, the U.S. Commerce Department blacklisted NSO Group, barring it from using U.S. technology. Apple sued NSO Group last week, seeking to effectively shut down its hacking of all iPhones and other Apple products. Mike Gracia, Washington.
More breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Denver's winter started with a whimper, and the parched mountains to the west aren't faring much better. The current situation being bothersome to some outdoor enthusiasts.
I bought an epic pass to be able to snowboard, and it's super nice out, like 76, so I don't think I'll be snowboarding anytime soon.
Some optimistic snow lovers might try to be. There always, though, is shadow lurking.
There's always chance for precipitation to arrive, and actually there is some in the long-term forecast. You know, every day that goes by that we don't see precipitation show up, and we see this year-to-year persistence of drought conditions, it just adds to a deficit. And we continue to add to this deficit year after year, particularly in the Colorado River Basin.
Meanwhile, a blizzard warning has been issued for, get this, the Big Island of Hawaii. The National Weather Service forecasting up to a foot of snow or more, wind gusts of up to 100 miles an hour at the summits. More news at townhall.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. So, Omicron has hit the United States, and everybody is supposed to panic. I just don't understand why, exactly. So, Kathy Hochul, who is the governor of New York, she inherited the office after Andrew Cuomo could not keep his hands off the asses of other women. So Kathy Hochul took over, and now she has declared that Omicron is in New York. Everybody panic. Everybody freak out.
The information is still evolving, but we understand that this individual, while they were vaccinated, they have very mild symptoms, and in fact, those symptoms have already resolved. That is good news. And what we want to make sure we know is that there is one way to address this, New Yorkers. Get vaccinated, get boosted, and get ready.
And get ready. I don't know what you mean, get ready. Get ready. Okay, so here's the thing. The media have to freak you out. So the New York Times runs a piece today called Prior Infection is Little Defense Against Virus Variants, scientists say. Evidence from South Africa, where the Omicron variant already dominates, shows a high rate of reinfection of people who have already had the coronavirus. Okay, so here's the question. Well, that's true. Okay, so the vaccines are not stopping you from getting infected. I don't care. The reason I don't care is because every year I get that flu vaccine. And about half the time I get the flu anyway. And that's because the flu vaccine doesn't hit all the various strains. Every year I get a cold. I don't care because it's just a cold. And that's called being a human, and sometimes you get sick. The question is, am I going to have to go to the hospital and am I going to die? And if the answer is no to either of those questions, don't care. So there's a very long piece in the New York Times. It is a very long piece about how vaccines are not going to protect you against Omicron. And neither, apparently, will pass infection. Quote, a past coronavirus infection appears to give little immunity to the new Omicron variant rippling across the globe, Southern African scientists warned on Thursday, potentially tearing away one layer of defense humanity has won slowly and at immense cost. Just a week after its existence was revealed to the world, the heavily mutated variant, which scientists fear could be the most contagious one yet, is already by far the dominant form of the virus in South Africa and spreading fast. Top European disease experts said Thursday it could be the dominant form in Europe within a few months. Scientists have known since early in the pandemic the immunity gained from a coronavirus infection is not total and probably not permanent, and some people are reinfected. Even so, with a huge number of people already infected and recovered, about 260 million worldwide, and in reality far more according to experts, whatever protection they had looks like an important layer in the world's defenses. The new variant calls that into question. Scientists in South Africa have reported a sudden sharp rise in November in COVID cases among people in that country who had already been infected. The authors noted there was no such upswing when the beta and delta variants emerge. Okay, so I have a question. Is it leading to more hospitalization and death? So let's do a quick search in this article. for the word hospitalization. Nope does not appear once. How about death? Nope does not appear once. So basically, we're all supposed to panic because you might get a disease that is less likely to hospitalize or kill you, according to the data that we currently have. Panic, everyone. This is they lie because they say that they're willing to understand the reality, which is that zero COVID is not going to happen and that this will become an endemic virus and, in fact, already is an endemic virus. And then the actual goal that the media are pursuing is zero COVID. Because if you spend all day worrying about getting COVID and getting sick for like 3 days and not going into work and then being okay, I don't know what to tell you. You are living in crazy land. This is not stopping Joe Biden, however, because, again, this all comes down to Joe Biden's big promise that he was going to stop COVID. He is not going to stop COVID. He doesn't have the ability to stop COVID because no politician has the ability to stop COVID. I didn't blame Trump for that last year. I'm not blaming Biden for it this year. The only thing I blame Biden for is lying to the American people that he was capable of stopping COVID, because he's not. But this is his new shtick. So President Biden is now ushering in a bunch of new restrictions. He announced yesterday, by the way, that Anthony Fauci is the real president, which is frightening to, I think, everyone, or should be frightening to everyone. Here was Joe Biden yesterday.
I've seen more of Dr. Fauci than I have my wife. We kid each other, but they look, who's president? Fauci. But all kidding aside, I sincerely mean it.
So, all kidding aside, he means it. Fauci is the president, which is bodes very poorly for us, considering that Anthony Fauci is wild and crazy and self-conflicting on all of this stuff and highly political. By the way, Anthony Fauci came out yesterday and he said that fully vaxxed Americans with boosters are still going to need to wear masks. So basically, mask up until the end of time, literally until the end of time.
Everyone's been talking about what to do if you're unvaccinated or without a booster, but what should someone who has all three shots do to protect themselves against the Omicron variant?
What you do is exactly what we were saying, and that is to be prudent and careful. And one of the things that's very clear is that if you have to be in an indoor congregate setting in which you're unsure of what the vaccination status is of the people around you, wear a mask.
Okay, so you're fully boosted, you're fully vaxxed, you should still be wearing a mask, according to Anthony Fauci, until the end of time. Until the end of time. We'll get to Joe Biden's master plan to stop COVID in just 1 second. First, this holiday season, how about giving the gift of life by rescuing 10,000 babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound? When a woman considering abortion meets her baby on ultrasound, it's a game changer. She's much more likely to choose life. Preborn has saved hundreds and thousands of babies' lives through ultrasound, and you can be a part of it. Would you join us? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and save 5 babies' lives. If you have the means, Preborn currently has clinics just waiting for ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, but right now, through a match, your tax-deductible donation of $7,500 will place a machine in a clinic, saving countless babies' lives. Preborn babies need our help. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby, that is #250baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Preborn is a 501c3 organization. I can tell you ultrasounds are life-changing. Absolutely life-changing, not just for people who want their kids, but for people who are considering abortion. An ultrasound can completely switch their mind and make them aware of exactly the life that is in their womb. Help Preborn out today, #250baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. So Joe Biden has put out a new plan. What exactly is his new plan? It includes hundreds of vaccination sites, boosters for all adults, new testing requirements for international travelers, and free at-home tests. None of this is going to stop COVID. The reason it's not going to stop COVID is because there are lots of people who don't want to get vaccinated. Even the vaccinated are still passing this to other vaccinated people, by the way. And boosters are not necessary for all adults. Okay, the CDC ruling is contradicted by the WHO, but the data tends to show is that if you're over the age of 60, you probably should get a booster because the immunity to hospitalization and death begins to wane from the 90% down to the 70%. But if you're 30 and you're healthy, then your immunity in terms of hospitalization and death is pretty durable. You're talking about a very marginal increase for the price of a booster shot. So I don't tell you, but the left is, they are addicted. They are addicted to the restrictions. They're not even addicted to anything remotely like a solution. They're just addicted to the idea that they have a solution. So now you have MSNBC's Dr. Redlener suggesting that Anthony Fauci should literally ban people who are unvaccinated from flying. Again, airplanes are not the vector of transmission. We know this. It doesn't matter. It's just about the control at this point.
there's a couple of more tools in our quiver here, which include, for example, and which is something I've been advocating for, which is I don't think anyone should be allowed on an airplane, domestic or international, or a train, without being able to prove they've been vaccinated. To me, that's really the only way, in addition to testing, that we're going to get better control over the situation we currently have, Nicole.
More restrictions, more restrictions, more restrictions. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki is saying nothing is off the table. From the White House press office, here she is.
Why not go further in the direction of you know, public health and mandates, given the potential risk and the fact that we're headed into winter?
Sure. Well, one, I would say that nothing is off the table. Including domestic travel.
Oh, nothing is off the table. By the way, the economy is reacting just as you would expect it to. People in the economy are not afraid of COVID. They're afraid of the reaction to COVID. J.P. Morgan said as much yesterday, and the media are pressing this forward. So Joy Reid was just freaking out about this yesterday because it's a day ending in Y, and Joy Reid has to freak out about something. So here she was with the Surgeon General freaking out over Omicron. By the way, 5 confirmed cases of Omicron in New York, all of them alive. I have to say, so far, the most embarrassing thing about Omicron is that the person who apparently spread it in New York was at an anime convention. How would you like that to be your day? You're revealed as patient zero in New York, and that's not the most embarrassing thing about you. It's that you were at an anime convention. Here is Joy Reid yesterday.
Let's talk about Omicron. My adult children live in New York. They've been screenshotting and sending me info on Omicron. It's really frightening because it feels like it is the next sort of wave of the pandemic, and it feels kind of unstoppable. How much more dangerous is the Omicron variant than Delta?
Okay, and the answer is they have no idea because there's no data suggesting that it is more dangerous than Delta. In fact, there's some data suggesting it's less dangerous than Delta. Yeah, but I also like that people she says they're screenshotting. I'm confused as how you screenshot Omicron. How does that work? Andrew Ross Sorkin, who has been extraordinarily voluble about his fears regarding COVID, despite the fact that, again, he's vaxxed, his wife is vaxxed, I think he's talked about this on air, and his kids are very young, which means they're fine. He was freaking out about this yesterday as well.
The Constitution does still exist. Despite the headwinds that we've had in the last 2 years and the encroachments on the Constitution, it still does exist. So that we do have rights. It's the First Amendment, the Tenth Amendment protecting us against federal mandates like this,
the 14th
Amendment.
The
reality
is, you can't kill my mother. The rights are that you can't. The right is
right,
that
I'm not killing her mother. And if she has the vaccine, those risks are mitigated. And we're seeing that in most likely cases, your mother will not die if she's vaccinated.
You don't have the right to kill my mother. Honestly, if this is the way that the left is going to view living in a society, then we're all in real trouble here. Because as it turns out that if your mom is elderly and immunocompromised, then we all have to wear masks at all times. And not cloth masks, KN95 masks. Because I could give your mom the flu and your mom could die of the flu. Lots of old people die of the flu every single year. Every single year. Alrighty, coming up, it turns out that Joe Biden's big plan for COVID, all it's doing is destroying the economy. We'll get to that in a moment. First, I'm sure we all know about Ring Video Doorbell by now, but did you know that Ring makes an award-winning alarm? Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. So whether you are running across town or across the country this busy season, you and your loved ones can rest easy knowing that your home is protected. It's more than just security. Ring Alarm protects your home from flood, freeze, and fire as well. Plus, it is way cheaper than those other companies. For what they charge for 1 month, you can get an entire year of Ring Alarm with professional monitoring. Right now, for the best deals of the year on Ring Alarm, go to ring.com/Ben. And we rely on Ring Alarm whenever I'm out of town. I'm constantly trying to keep an eye on my property using the Ring app. Frankly, even when I'm home, I'm using the Ring app. Now, the other day, my squishy baby, she was in the backyard. I looked around for a second, and she was gone. And I was like, uh-oh, that's not good. Because, well, we have, you know, child-proofed the backyard. And babies are, let's say, risky little creatures. So I immediately pulled up that Ring app, and I could see what the baby was doing. I immediately went and scooped her up. Her mother never knew the better until right now. This holiday season, check the halls, walls, windows, and doors with the best deals of the year on the award-winning Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben. Get a great deal on a Ring Alarm security kit today. That is ring.com/Ben. All righty. Coming up, we'll get to the latest economic report demonstrating once again Joe Biden does not know what the hell he is doing. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Reading Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash, and valuables, heirlooms, and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving, and repair service available in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050, or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take your chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Riverfront Playhouse presents It's a Wonderful Life, a radio play based on the story The Greatest Gift by Philip Van Doren Stern, and adapted by Joe Landry, directed by John Welsh. This beloved holiday classic comes to life as a 1940s radio broadcast. Join the cast and bring a few dozen characters to the stage as the story of George Bailey unfolds one fateful Christmas Eve. December 3rd through the 18th at the new Riverfront Playhouse, downtown on California Street. Tickets available online at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Brought to you by Cornerstone Bank and this station.
Reading Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's jobs report is out, and it sucks. The jobs report apparently shows that we added about 210,000 jobs in November. The forecast was for, wait for it, 570,000 jobs. So they missed by 360,000 jobs last month. They're missing month after month after month. The entire trajectory of the American economy is wrong because of this administration. The inflation is happening because of this administration. People are not going back to work. People are staying out of the workforce. There are more open jobs right now than there are people able to fill those open jobs. We are sinking into the possibility of an actual honest-to-God recession in a time when we should have a massive economic boom going on. Like, the economy is not supposed to be stagnating right now. The economy is supposed to be booming right now. You're not supposed to get 210,000 jobs added in a time when we've only gained back 83% of the jobs that were lost in the first place. This is wild and crazy. Okay, but the DCCC has to they have to brag about something, by the way. Let me just note how much of a failure these policies are, by the way. When we talk about jobs being added, complete failure. The Wall Street Journal reports the unemployment rate in October hit the lowest on record since 1976 in West Virginia, Georgia, Oklahoma, Utah, Nebraska, Vermont, Idaho, South Dakota, New Hampshire, Alabama, Montana, Wisconsin, and Indiana. I've noticed that all of those places are red. All of them. Meanwhile, the states that have massive unemployment rates, California, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico, Connecticut, Hawaii, Michigan, and Alaska, all have Democratic government trifectas, except for Michigan, which has a GOP legislature, and Alaska, which is red. And as far as regaining jobs, okay, the states that have regained jobs at the fastest clip are all red. The states that have not regained jobs are all blue. So the Biden administration has to come up with some sort of narrative as to how they're fixing this thing. And they came up with this chart. And this chart is just glorious. Because I have to take a moment to just admire the incredible stupidity of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee that put this together, the DCCC. So they tweeted out, thanks, Joe Biden. And they put out a chart about gas prices. Now, where did they get this chart about gas prices? They got it from Matt Iglesias. So Matt Iglesias, who now writes over at Substack, he's a left-leaning guy. He put out a chart mocking the Biden administration's push for the notion that they've curbed inflation. And the chart that he put out showed that over the course of the last couple of weeks, the price of gas had gone down on average by 2 cents. And it was supposed to be mocking them for their talking about it. So the DCCC took it seriously and they turned it into a chart. I just want to note the incredible, just every aspect of this chart is glorious. So it says U.S. regular, all gas, all formulations, gas price. Okay, and it shows on the y-axis, dollars per gallon, and on the x-axis, it shows the date. Now, only two dates show November 22nd, 2021, November 29th, 2021. Okay, and then in the dollars per gallon, it shows a range of 3.415 to 3.375. So now you're saying to yourself, wait, so you're talking about the difference between like the entire y-axis, right? The entire possible differential is between a gas price of $3.41 a gallon and $3.38 a gallon. That's a 3 to 4 cent spread is what you're talking about right now. About a 3.5 cent spread. So they make the y-axis super large, right? So every increment on the y-axis is really big. So the chart looks as though if you decrease from 3.415 per gallon to 3.410 per gallon, that'd be like a massive decrease. Okay, so in reality, the chart shows that the price of gas has decreased by about 2 cents. Okay, and then that's not enough. They didn't just stretch the y-axis so that it looks so they can pretend that there was an actual gas price decrease that is meaningful for people. They also put an arrow at the end of U.S. regular all formulations gas price. And the arrow looks like, frankly, a drooping arrow, which says something about Biden-Harris. Okay, it is a drooping arrow. It takes a sharp 90-degree downturn because this is how steeply the prices are decreasing. Okay, now, this chart, like, this is the best you can do. They were doing this in July, right? Your July 4th meal is going to be 16 cents cheaper this year. And then by Thanksgiving, it's going to be like a lot more expensive. You won't get a turkey, but we are doing the job. We are over here at the DCCC. We're doing the job. By the way, just to show you how crazy this chart is, here's another chart. This chart is a chart of the actual inflation in the gas price over the last 18 months. So basically, since November of 2020, beginning November 20th, 2020, you're looking at a gas price on average of about $2.13 a gallon, somewhere in that neighborhood. Then you have a consistent and steep rise all the way up to $3.42. And so the DCCC featured a chart showing the last 2 weeks in which the average price of gas has decreased from $3.40 to $3.38. And they're like, we're fixing this thing. Weird, because when Joe Biden took office, the average price of gas was a little under $2.40 a gallon. Now it is $3.40 a gallon. And you're showing me like the last 2 weeks? They got nothing, guys. They have nothing. They have nothing. They have a doddering old president who doesn't know how to handle this thing and who's just going to keep throwing restrictive measures at the American people. And all that's going to do is sink the economy. But at least he's with it. At least he's not, you know, routinely slurring his words. Oh, wait, no, he's actually routinely slurring his words. My bad. Here he was yesterday slurring his words.
These teams work. They provide needed staff for staff overruns, badly needed staff, where overrun hospitals are handling more patients than they can handle, for their emergency rooms and intensive care units who don't have the personnel available. They help provide life-saving treatments to communities in need, like monoclonal antibody treatments. We have over 20 teams deployed now. Today I'm announcing that we're going to triple that, more than double. We're going to get to 60 teams ready to deploy in states experience a surge in cases over the course of this winter.
Is he speaking English anymore? I have doubts. By the way, how delusional is Joe Biden? Yesterday he explained that during the six-day war he met Golda Meir in Israel. There are only about 8 problems with this particular story. Here he was delivering another one of his just false stories.
Many times I've been to Israel, I said, not all of a sudden I realized, God, you're getting old, Biden. I have known every prime minister well. since Golda Meir, including Golda Meir.
He said that he visited Israel during the Six-Day War. There's a problem with that. Golda Meir was not the prime minister of Israel during the Six-Day War. She was prime minister of Israel during the 1973 Yom Kippur War. And also, Joe Biden was in law school during the Six-Day War. So, yeah. Do you feel steady leadership? You feel that hand on the tiller of state? You feel like we have this return to normalcy? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Or are we just abjectly screwed? Alrighty, coming up, we will be joined by Ilya Shapiro of Cato Institute to analyze where he thinks the Supreme Court is going to come down in this latest Mississippi case. The left, of course, is going completely berserk over the possibility that Roe versus Wade will be overturned. I think it's unlikely Roe versus Wade is completely overturned, but we'll get Ilya's opinion. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Redding Garden of Lights, featuring two stages of live music, food trucks, and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Homeward Bound this Saturday for Christmas for the Troops, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Join us as we package boxes to send overseas to troops who are deployed over the holidays. Adults $10, students with student ID $8, and kids under 12 free. Admission buys your lunch and helps offset the cost of shipping a package. Come help us send some cheer around the world. For more information, call Rob at 530-510-8210. Thanks, and we'll see you Saturday.
Tico Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Ilya Shapiro, Vice President of the Cato Institute, Director of the Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies, and publisher of the Cato Supreme Court Review. Ilya, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to be on. Sometime we got to invite Ilya Soman and really confuse the heck out of people.
Exactly. By the transitive property, I guess we're all the same person. So let's talk for a second about the Supreme Court case that is now being heard. So, number one, when do we expect the decision's actually going to come down? Because there's a pretty long delay between the oral arguments and the actual decision here.
The way it works out with controversial cases, they're inevitably decided at the very end of term, which means the last week of June. Sometimes they go into July.
Okay, so let's talk about what this case actually involves. We've got a Mississippi statute. It says essentially that all abortions except for cases of life of the mother being endangered are banned after 15 weeks of pregnancy. And this conflicts with current Supreme Court precedent under Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So why don't you start walking us through from the beginning? What is the current Supreme Court precedent?
Right. So Roe v. Wade is not the standard by which courts evaluate abortion regulations. Roe v. Wade established a right to abortion, but then in 1973, and then Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992 said that rather than Roe's kind of trimester rubric, in the first trimester states can't regulate, and the third trimester they can, and there's kind of a sliding scale in the middle tied to viability, perhaps that came into question in the argument. We'll discuss that. And Planned Parenthood versus Casey basically said that states cannot impose, quote, an undue burden on the right to abortion before viability. And viability at the time of Roe, whatever it was, now it's about 23, 24 weeks, but in any event, clearly longer than the 15-week line that Mississippi drew in this case. And so this is a facial challenge to the existing standard under Casey, perhaps even the right under Roe.
There are a couple of ways the Supreme Court could slice this when it comes to Planned Parenthood versus Casey. One is they could just change the viability standard, because obviously viability right now, according to Supreme Court law, is defined as the ability of the child to live outside the womb. As science advances, it was never going to be a solid standard. That standard was never going to be anything remotely like a hard line, because science is making it more and more possible to sustain life outside the womb, and eventually we'll get to the point where we have artificial wombs, and so that line will be completely obliterated. So they could change the viability standard, but keep the undue burden standard. They could say, well, no undue burden outside of, say, 12 weeks or 10 weeks or something like that. They could get rid of the undue burden standard entirely. They could say that this undue burden standard basically is a phrase that means nothing, because it is. It's a phrase that literally means nothing. It can mean whatever the Supreme Court wants it to mean.
Well, for a long time, it meant any restriction that gave Anthony Kennedy a headache, essentially.
That's right. So. And then you could have the third possibility, which is the entire line of cases is overruled and the Supreme Court decides there is no fundamental right to abortion in the Constitution, which, of course, is how a normal person reads the Constitution of the United States, which does include no right to abortion, because, again, that's insane. But where do you think the Supreme Court breaks down on this?
Well, what you initially suggested that they could read out the viability standard, which is an arbitrary line, like any line would be arbitrary if the court decides that it needs to draw a line somewhere. You know, do you do it at by trimesters? Do you do it by the quickening, which they did at common law, you know, before modern science, or ensoulment, even before that? You know, there's different ways, but, you know, viability at least says that, well, after that point, the pregnancy is, in theory, no longer a burden on the woman, which is that was imbued with constitutional significance by Casey. John Roberts, the Chief Justice, was trying to draw that that middle compromise, as you were suggesting initially. He even said that viability might have even been dicta, meaning not binding, but just kind of a throwaway line by the court, by Harry Blackmun in his papers. In Roe. I don't think that's right. I think he sort of got that analysis wrong. I think viability was still important to Roe, not just Casey. But if what he suggests, you know, the court is infallible because it's final, so if John Roberts can cobble together that centrist position as the necessary votes, he could write an opinion saying that it's not viability that's important, but the opportunity to exercise the right to abortion under Roe. Therefore, you get rid of viability. Mississippi, 15 weeks, that presents plenty of opportunity to exercise the right to abortion. We don't need to touch Roe. The right is, there's not, we're reaffirming it. We're not overturning it. We're just saying this presents an opportunity to exercise the right. That's that intermediate standard. Other than that, it's either, you know, reaffirm Roe altogether, and I don't think they granted this case to just reaffirm Roe and Casey, or throw out the right and throw it back completely to the states, as Justice Kavanaugh, of all people, seemed to be suggesting when he said that the court should adopt a position of neutrality, neither pro nor con against abortion, that the Constitution is silent, and therefore it should be sent back to the states.
So let's say that they do take the sort of middle road, which I'm sure is what Justice Roberts wants, because this is what he always does. And you can see the members of the left wing of the Supreme Court attempting to, again, cudgel him with the threat that the legitimacy of the Supreme Court would be put into question. This, for some odd reason, has been the argument that always gets to Justice Roberts. It did in the Obamacare case as well, that we have to uphold the institutional legitimacy of the Supreme Court by not doing our jobs, which is a very strange argument, but one that seems that he seems to read the public polling and then say, well, you know, if it would hurt the court in the long run for us to take this position, well, then we must not take this position. It does raise the question of whether he, I mean, I don't mean to slur the man, but it does raise the question as to how he would have treated precedent in, say, 1955 when Plessy was precedent. You know, what would challenge the institutional legitimacy of this court, et cetera. If you were to find that middle ground, if you were to say, okay, well, we're going to get rid of the viability standard, it's fundamental right to abortion exists. The Mississippi law has a backup provision that basically kicks the restriction all the way back down to 6 weeks, correct? So even if they greenlight the 15-week part of the law, eventually, we'll find ourselves back at the Supreme Court with, say, a six-week abortion ban, which basically pushes abortion all the way back to the time when a woman first knows that she is pregnant. And so the Supreme Court is really not escaping anything by allowing that to go the way the dodo bird.
Yeah, I think that kind of compromise would kick the can down the road. And Mississippi is not the only state. There's a number of states that say, okay, if 15 is okay, then we'll make it 12 or 10. You slice it very, very thinly. And so Roberts is not going to be able to avoid the ultimate question for long. But that's okay with him. That's sort of how he's been, whether it's on campaign finance. There were several cases leading up to Citizens United with voting rights. There were several cases leading up to Shelby County. So he's an incrementalist. He's not a liberal. And, you know, he's in certain areas okay with significant changes, but he doesn't like doing it in one fell swoop. And on the question of legitimacy, by the way, I had a couple of cover stories last year in the Washington Examiner magazine, one on John Roberts himself called Roberts Rules, which has a very nice artwork on the cover of him sitting on a weather vane, seeing where it's blowing, and another one on what legitimacy means in the Supreme Court context. You know, because it can't just be public opinion polling. For that matter, if you look at public opinion polls, about where the American people are on average, give or take, is 15 weeks. That's just sort of the line in Europe. That's, you know, kind of, you know, the median position, if you will. But legitimacy works both ways. And all on these very controversial issues, whether it's culture war stuff or Obamacare, I don't know if Obamacare is a culture, but anyway, you're going to disappoint half the people, more or less, however the court rules. So if your definition of legitimacy or institution preservation is doing something that doesn't upset a vast majority of the country, well, you know, that cuts both ways, and you can argue it both ways. So all the justices are savvy. They understand that they live in the real world. John Roberts' project of trying to extricate the court from the general political discourse hasn't been all that successful. So I don't know in the end whether that's going to be the motivating factor. But really, the key vote is not Roberts. It's not Kavanaugh. It's Amy Coney Barrett, the newest justice. And, you know, will she go along with Roberts in some way? Will she write the opinion that doesn't go quite as far as her more conservative colleagues might want to do? I don't know. She seemed to be thinking through the question of precedent, this idea called lawyers call stare decisis, that sometimes we keep erroneous precedent because fixing it would cause more disruption than getting it right. And she also raised the issue of, well, the burden of pregnancy is different than the burden of parenting. So if part of the burden that Roe talked about, which it did, was sort of saddling a woman with, you know, for 18 years, parental responsibilities, now it's much easier to give a child up for adoption, safe haven laws, that sort of thing. So I don't know what that means eventually, where she's going to land, but she is ultimately going to be the key vote here.
So let's say that there's the possibility that it comes down, they split the baby. It ends up being a very Planned Parenthood v. Casey sort of decision where you have 18 different concurrences and bare majorities cobbled together for very narrow decisions with very sweeping ramifications and some terribly glorious language about autonomy and the mysteries at the heart of the universe and some such garbage. Let's say that.
Well, I don't think it's going to be quite like that. I don't think they're going to make the same mistake. For one thing, I don't think it's going to be a tri-authored thing. I mean, they're not going to make history ring twice exactly in that way. I think it would have to be either something broader or more narrow in terms of that centrist coalition. But anyway,
let's say they do that. Let's say it's a more narrow. Let's say it's a more narrow decision. You know, there's been a lot of talk on the right about whether the entire judicial project on the right has been a failure, whether the attempt to shift the court toward originalism or textualism, which are similar but not the same, that project has been a failure, and that instead what conservatives should have been pursuing is a much more natural law-oriented judiciary in which the Supreme Court doesn't look per se to the text of the Constitution. Instead, they look to underlying natural law notions. This has sort of been the national conservative push on the right, which is that textualism and originalism don't actually do the job that they were designed to do, which is to create a barrier to the violation of rights or violation of duties by the state. Instead, they've been at best a sort of holding pattern. And if the right truly wants to fight back against the use of the court as a weapon, it needs to use the court as a weapon itself. If this decision comes down and really attempts to split the baby, what do you think the consequences of that in terms of judicial philosophy on the right look like?
Yeah, you're talking about the challenge to originalism from what's often called common good constitutionalism or common good originalism, and it's identified with you know, Josh Hawley, for example, in the Senate, Adrian Vermeule, law professor at Harvard. I think you're right. If Mississippi does not win to a great enough extent, I don't think it has to be like if Roe is not overturned. I don't think it has to go that far. But if it's too narrow, even a victory for Mississippi, or they, let's say they don't rule for the state, they just vacate, set a new standard and remand back. I think you're right. This sort of internecine, debate among, the conservative legal movement will certainly shift, especially among younger law students and lawyers coming up who are impatient and feel that if, you know, if originalism and textualism don't get us to this, if they produced Bostock, the case a couple of years ago where Neil Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion extending employment discrimination protections to sexual orientation and gender identity, if that's where it gets us, well, that's no good. We need a new theory, burn it all down, start over again. And that would discredit the Federalist Society. It would discredit originalists. It would discredit kind of the mainstream conservative legal movement with its origins with a speech by Ed Meese, essentially, in the mid-80s, and then the founding of the Federalist Society. And the debate within kind of the right and the center-right would start looking very, very different.
If that happens, you know, I think that.
And by the way, Ben, I think that's also a consideration that Barrett and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, who are very identified with that movement and with the Federalist Society, will be bearing in mind as much, if not more, as the broader, you know, Sotomayor raised legitimacy threats about, you know, progressives storming the barricades if they're to overturn Roe.
If that does happen, then I think that it is fair to say, like, from that perspective, the best move Roberts could make would be to take a strong position on this particular case, because if he really wants the court to remain a third branch of government that is providing judgment rather than force, then he really needs to be careful here, because if the right does mobilize along those lines, then essentially the only question about the Supreme Court is whose super legislature it is, as opposed to whether it is a super legislature at all.
That's right. It's sort of a might makes right. If you can't beat them, join them theory of constitutional interpretation. And I do think that would be dangerous. And Roberts could ultimately be persuaded in that direction. I think that's where, in his heart of hearts, he probably is. But, you know, as the saying goes, he's never been a fifth man for very much, but now that he's the sixth man, the sixth vote, maybe he could do that.
Well, it's Ilya Shapiro over at Cato Institute. You can check out all of his work over there. Ilya, really appreciate the time and the insight.
My pleasure. Take care, Ben. Happy Hanukkah as well, by the way.
Appreciate it. Back at you. All righty. Coming up, Kamala Harris is quite unpopular. The polls show this. And so the Democrats are having some problems propping her up for 2024. First, let's talk about your need for life insurance. So let us say that you are just a man in France and you've fallen in love with the most beautiful woman in town and you've pursued her to the ends of the earth. But then you find that she's bizarrely fallen in love with some sort of beast and you decide that it's time to go after that beast. Well, as you are fighting that beast on top of the turrets of a castle, and as you're about to be cast down into an endless chasm, you might be thinking to yourself, man, at least I should have bought some life insurance. Well, you should have, from Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few questions about yourself in minutes. You can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes, and find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Their licensed experts will work with you to understand your options and apply for a policy. The team works with you, not the insurance companies. You can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you every step of the way until you are covered. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That is PolicyGenius.com to get started. Alrighty, coming up, Kamala Harris continues to be wildly unpopular, and now she is losing staff. We'll get into that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris, deeply unpopular. The entire Democratic Party in a state of panic because Joe Biden is obviously flailing. The man is up in the high 30s, low 40s. And he ain't going to be around for 2024 in terms of being able to run that race. I mean, he's not mentally with us at this point, which means Kamala Harris is the heir apparent. The only problem is she sucks at this. And she's so bad at this that she's pretty much acknowledging at this point that her own administration is responsible for people not being able to afford things. So here's Kamala Harris yesterday. She was trying to prop up the idea that we need to spend more on health care, but she unintentionally acknowledged that they've driven up the prices of groceries.
It's not right that families have to choose to either buy groceries or pay for health care, to either fill up their tank or pay their rent. And so our Build Back Better Act will bring down health care and housing costs also.
So, want to know why people have to choose between groceries and healthcare these days? I have an idea as to why that is the case, and it might have something to do with the fact that you guys have created a massive inflationary spiral that nobody really thought was going to happen because we hadn't had massive inflation in this country since the 1970s. And well, over the last couple of days, Simone Sanders, who you'll remember was a Bernie Sanders acolyte, she had joined Kamala Harris's team as sort of a sop to the Bernie Sanders campaign. She was the deputy press secretary for Kamala Harris. And she left. Peter Doocy, White House Fox News reporter, he asked Jen Psaki if the real problem here is that nobody wants to work with Kamala Harris because she's terrible.
So this is not a case of bad headlines about the vice president and a decision being made to shake up the staff to fix an image issue.
You know, Peter, I think I spoke to it, and I would note that, and I'll just speak to Simone since I knew her before, and she's been officially announced, and I knew her. She joined the campaign early on, as many of you know. She's been a part of this for 2.5 or 3 years. She's somebody, and anybody who spent time with her knows that she is whip smart, and she has charisma coming out of her eyeballs, and she's going to do plenty of interesting things in the world in the future.
Well, first of all, if you have charisma coming out your eyeballs, then you probably should seek a medical professional. That's not a great condition. The reality, of course, is that Simone Sanders, who offered no excuse for why she's leaving Kamala Harris's office, she's leaving because no one wants to work with Kamala Harris. We've known this since the campaign. There's a whole article in the New York Times after Kamala Harris dropped out of her presidential campaign noting that she's really, really, really bad at this and that no one wants to work with her at all. The fact that the great white hope for the Democrats at this point, and I mean great white hope with the emphasis on white here, is Pete Buttigieg, is quite frightening for them, and it should be. Can you think of a candidate who's less geared toward winning minority voters than Pete Buttigieg? Literally, the only people who like Pete Buttigieg are college-educated white liberals who work in major metropolitan areas. That's his entire constituency. And yet, this is the person they think is going to replace Joe Biden. Again, Joe Biden's entire pitch is that he was completely inoffensive because he was not alive. The same does not hold true of Pastor Pete, who suggests to religious Americans all over the country that their opposition to same-sex marriage is rooted in pure bigotry, which itself is rooted in a misinterpretation of the Bible. Good luck with that one. Meanwhile, things continue to get ugly in major metropolitan areas around the country. According to the New York Times, flash mobs swarmed through a Nordstrom in Northern California and 2 Best Buy stores in Minnesota, running out with armfuls of merchandise. 5 thieves steal $20,000 in products from an Ulta beauty store in Pennsylvania in just 40 seconds. A security guard is fatally shot in Oakland, California, while working with a local TV news crew reporting about a recent retail robbery by a group of thieves. Theft is an ever-present issue for retailers. As much as $68.9 billion in product were stolen from retailers in 2019, according to one industry group, but it has become more visible, brazen, and violent in recent months, forcing an industry already buffeted by pandemic lockdowns and fights over mask requirements to deal with a new problem. This level of violence has taken it to a whole new level, said Rachel Michelin, president of the California Retailers Association. No one has seen this before. Now, I have a question. Why are we only seeing this in Northern California or Minnesota or Philadelphia? Why? Could it have something to do with politics? Luxury retailers in Union Square in San Francisco have boarded up windows to prevent more mayhem. Best Buy warned last week theft was lowering profit margins, said it was using QR codes for checkout in some areas so employees didn't need to unlock items right away. Home Depot has hardened its stores, putting power tools and other valuables out of reach, advising employees not to film robberies with their phones because it could escalate the situation. Retail executives and security experts link the thefts to a confluence of factors, primarily the ease with which thieves have been able to resell stolen goods on internet marketplaces, but even industry veterans who have been tracking generations of shoplifters have been stunned by the methods and mindset of the thieves, saying they reflect a sense of impunity. Some recent robberies, this is the New York Times reporting, remember, some recent robberies. Recall the looting that occurred across the country amid protests after the murder of George Floyd in May 2020. At that time, people took advantage of police departments stretched by the protests and ransacked hundreds of stores, including the Macy's and Herald Square, and many smaller retailers, causing millions of dollars in damage. Yep. Maybe it was the fact that the entire media decided that looting was a form of protest, and that property theft was not a form of violence, and that police were the bad guys. Maybe that's why you are seeing a massive uptick in organized violence, theft, and looting across major metropolitan areas, because we ain't seeing that down here in Florida. We're not. You know why? Because in Florida, we don't hate the cops. In Florida, if somebody tries to break into a store, we want the cops there to arrest them and take them to jail. And then we don't want to release them on bail. We want to put them in prison. It turns out that broken windows theory is correct. When you break every window in a major metropolitan area, things get worse, not better. Alrighty, we'll be back here on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. U.S. job growth slowed in November as hiring unexpectedly dipped before the holiday season.
The Labor Department says employers added 210,000 jobs last month. That was well below the 500,000 gain that had been expected. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate fell to 4.2% from 4.6%. While the data was collected well before the onset of the Omicron variant, they underscore the economy's fragility as the pandemic persists.
Jeremy House reporting. The quit rates, which are a measurement of workers leaving jobs as a share of overall employment, has been at or near record highs, which suggests co-workers are confident they can navigate the labor market to find something better. The Air Force says more than 6% of the Air National Guard and Reserve did not meet the deadline to get the COVID vaccine and could begin to face consequences if they don't get mandated shots or receive an exemption. However, Air Guard members who report for their monthly drill this weekend will be allowed to participate and be paid whether they're vaccinated or not. A school superintendent in Michigan speaking out about a deadly shooting at a local high school.
Tim Throne, leader of Oxford Community School, says the teenager accused of killing four students was called to the office on the day of the shooting and his parents were there, but no discipline was warranted. Sheriff Mike Bouchard says there was no history of problems.
This individual did not come on the school's radar at all for either bullying or problem behavior or questionable behavior until the day before.
Investigators say the semi-automatic gun was bought legally by 15-year-old Ethan Crumley's father last week. Superintendent Throne says the school looks like a war zone and won't be ready for weeks. I'm Ed Donahue.
And you can always find out more news, read the best analysis. They're both at townhall.com.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
In coronavirus news from overseas, Germany's health minister says more than 1% of the population is currently infected with the coronavirus.
Health Minister Jens Spahn is calling on citizens to get vaccinated if they haven't done so already, adding, if all German adults were vaccinated, we wouldn't be in this difficult situation. Spahn spoke a day after federal and state leaders announced tough new restrictions that largely target unvaccinated people, preventing them from entering non-essential stores, restaurants, sports and cultural venues. According to the Robert Koch Institute's calculations, some 925,800 100 people in Germany are considered actively infected with the virus, more than 1% of the country. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Check out more breaking news, read analysis, both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The Justice Department started an inquiry in August into sexual harassment claims against Andrew Cuomo. Correspondent Mike Gracia has this report on the former governor.
A U.S. Justice Department civil inquiry into sexual harassment claims against former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo came to light Thursday as a result of public records requests by several news organizations. The office of current Governor Kathy Hochul said it hired a law firm in October to handle matters related to ongoing investigations inherited from the Cuomo administration. One of those matters was an investigation by the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn. Cuomo resigned in August after New York Attorney General Letitia James concluded he had sexually harassed 11 women. I'm Mike Gracia.
Check out more on these stories. Simple. Log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so the Supreme Court is currently considering whether to overrule Roe versus Wade. I actually think that what the Supreme Court is likely to do in this particular case is uphold the Mississippi law that would essentially bar abortion after the 15th week. I don't think they're going to overrule Roe versus Wade. I think you're going to end up with a split decision. In Planned Parenthood versus Casey, you really never ended up with a solid majority decision. You had a majority for certain principles, and then you had four justices voting for one thing and four justices voting for another thing. I think that what emerges from this case is likely to be a mess. I think that it is not going to be something as clear as even viability, which is an unclear and stupid standard. I think it'll be less clear than that. I don't think it's going to be the trimester framework of Roe versus Wade. I don't know what it's going to be. I do think that we are optimistic on the pro-life side if we think that Roe versus Wade is going to be completely overturned, even though that ought to be the outcome here. And here's the thing. Even if Roe versus Wade is overturned, the law in New York is not going to be the same as the law in Mississippi. And everybody who studies law understands this, because that was the case before Roe versus Wade. California had some pretty liberal abortion laws. New York had some pretty liberal abortion laws. And Texas had some pretty strict abortion laws before Roe versus Wade went into place. Nonetheless, the fact that the Supreme Court is now considering the possibility of disestablishing a constitutional right to abortion, which, again, does not exist. It was made up out of whole cloth in an entire line of cases stretching all the way back to Griswold through Eisenstadt v. Baird, all the way up through Planned Parenthood versus Casey. That supposed constitutional right to abortion was made up directly out of the colons of Supreme Court justices who had political leanings in favor of a pro-choice position. Even if it were overruled, if ladies want to get abortions, all they have to do is not be in Texas. And they could go over the border to Mexico, and presumably they'd be able to get an abortion there. They could go over to California, get an abortion there. Listen, I would prefer a nationwide regime wherein no one can get an abortion except in cases where the mother's life is in danger. But that's not the way the federalist system works. And because of that, that means that there will be state differences in how abortion law is applied. But the left is losing it. They are losing it. And the reason they're losing it is because once you remove the constitutional right to abortion, once you say that there is no constitutional right to abortion, this brings back into play the rules of nature. And this is something that the left has been fighting very hard, as I pointed out yesterday. For the left, equality of outcome is the only metric of success in a society. And there are certain natural barriers to a quality of outcome in every arena of life. And some people are taller, some people are shorter, some people are dumber, some people are smarter. One of the great obstacles to equality of outcome in life are physical differences between men and women. Men and women do not operate the same way. Their bodies do not operate the same way. And women very often make choices that are dependent on their ability to bear and rear children. And they like those choices for the most part. This has been the greatest superpower of women since time immemorial, is that women are capable of bearing children and then feeding the children with their own body and bringing those children up. And by the way, when women are given the opportunity to take time off from the workforce to spend time with children, they are far more likely to do so than fathers are. And so the attempt to crack down on motherhood, which has been an aspect of the far left, has now taken over the entire left. So the left used to say that abortion used to be, it should be rare in very circumscribed cases because, you know, it's really a bad thing and you need to allow it to be legal because you never know, something really bad could happen. You might need an abortion, right? That used to be the case. Now it is a centralized aspect of femininity that abortion be there. It is central to womanhood that you be able to terminate your pregnancy. This is a very different position than the position that the left used to hold even as late as the 1990s pretty consistently. Now the position is that in order for women to achieve the same outcomes as men, women have to be able to, for any reason, rid their bodies of a human life with potential. And so the fact that the Supreme Court is now considering getting rid of the quote-unquote constitutional right to abortion means that the left has lost its mind. And they're going to spout nonsense and craziness and make arguments that have no internal logic to them. And this is what happened all day yesterday. All day yesterday, you got from the media just the craziest positions, unsustainable, illogical, insane, immoral positions being spouted by the left on a regular basis. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, the message from our partners over at Taser.
With violent crime on the rise across the country, life is more dangerous than ever. It's time for safer self-defense with Taser, the perfect non-lethal sidekick to your self-defense arsenal. Taser's energy weapons can stop threats before, during, and after you pull the trigger. Designed for home defense, your daily commute, and everywhere you need to keep your family safe, take the Taser Pulse Plus. From 15 feet away, it can lock up an attacker's muscles for up to 30 seconds, so you can escape safely. And when paired with your phone, the Taser Pulse Plus alerts emergency dispatchers with your GPS location as soon as you pull the trigger. And when you have to fire yours, Taser will replace it for free. Get the same Taser technology trusted by police officers across the country since 1993. Giving you the confidence to pull the trigger and safer self-defense. Get Taser Pulse Plus today and save 15% when you go to Taser.com and enter promo code SAVE. Spelled TASER.com, promo code SAVE. Supplies are limited. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, so one of the questions that you should be asking yourself when it comes to the left's perspective on abortion is why they feel this way about abortion particularly. And it's kind of strange. So if you go back and you read early Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood, she was quite anti-abortion. Margaret Sanger thought that it was a threat to human life, abortion. Margaret Sanger was in favor of contraception. She was in favor of birth control. But abortion as a method of birth control is something that was opposed by even wild leftists in the 1920s, 1930s, when Margaret Sanger was a prominent political figure in the United States. And birth control is now widely available in the United States. It's universally available in the United States. It is not difficult to obtain birth control. In fact, the West has gotten so good at birth control that we are depopulating ourselves out of existence. Every Western country, with the exception of Georgia in Europe and Israel, has a below replacement rate population problem. Right? We are producing fewer children than there are parents in the population. In order to reproduce at replacement rates, you have to have at least 2.1 children per family. Right now, most of the West is at 1.7, 1.8, and Italy 1.3. Right? So we're very good at avoiding having babies, as it turns out. So why exactly is abortion such a necessity? And the answer is because in order for the left to maintain that equality of outcome is the only thing that matters, they have to say that every step along the way, the only thing that matters is the outcome for the woman, not the outcome for the baby. They have to say that for every step of the way, right? They cannot limit the principle to birth control. The obligation for a woman, it never exists, according to the left, because if there's an obligation for a woman that a man does not have, it's unfair, even if that obligation was created by basic mammalian biology. And so you end up with the specter of people on the left arguing that pregnancy itself is some sort of enemy. It's an obstacle to be overcome. Because after all, women can get pregnant, but men cannot. Although the left takes a conflicting position about this. Now they say that men can get pregnant. So this really should obviate the abortion debate, really. Because if the left's idea is that pregnancy is an inherent bad because it makes men and women fundamentally unequal, Well, problem solved. Men can get pregnant now, and women can have balls, according to most of the left. But they get rid of that argument the minute that it becomes inconvenient, because after all, it just happens to be a biological fact that only women can get pregnant, of course. And they have to acknowledge that in the context of abortion. It's weird how fast that language, pregnant people, went away. And no more chest feeding around here. Right? That lasted purely as long as we were attempting to castigate Republicans as bigots. But the minute we're talking about abortion, it's back to pregnant women, and only women should have an opinion on abortion, and only women can get pregnant. Okay, so we begin yesterday with Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi seems to... It is amazing to hear the party of science declare that babies in the womb don't exist. They just don't exist. Now, my sister sent me an ultrasound of her kid in the womb yesterday. My sister, classically Abby, up in Virginia, she sent me a picture of her ultrasound. And it's a 3D ultrasound. That is a baby, my friends. Okay, we are talking about like a full face. I can see the features of the baby's face. I know that that the baby looks like my sister and my sister's husband, right? I can see all of it. That is a baby. It is not a cluster of cells. It is not a meaningless potential human life. It is none of those things. But the left tries to claim that the reason they are pro-abortion is because they are pro-science, which is a complete lie. So here's Nancy Pelosi lecturing us on the birds and the bees, which, by the way, I got to tell you, Nancy Pelosi lecturing people on the birds and the bees might end the practice of sex permanently. Like, no one should be forced to watch this clip because no one will ever want to have sex again after listening to Nancy Pelosi talk about going after it.
From what they have said about not respecting precedents at stare decisis, all of that is troubling. And what they have said about, sometimes I think they need a session in the birds and the bees for some of the kinds of statements that they make. I say that as mother five.
Okay, and this has become a commonplace rote talking point on the left. Is that people who are pro-life need an explainer on sex. I'm pretty sure you guys need the explainer on sex because you seem to think that sex and pregnancy are completely disconnected. Well, that's not the way it works. You don't catch a pregnancy. You're not just in a room like COVID and you're 5 feet away from somebody for 15 minutes and magically you're pregnant. That's not the way any of this works. Nor typically do people slip and fall on penises and randomly get pregnant. That's not how that works either. So, nope. Actually, it turns out that for all of human history and again, all of mammalian history, sex has led to pregnancy. It is only since the 1960s that we've been able to scientifically disconnect sex from pregnancy in any sort of consistent way. I mean, if you go all the way back to the 1940s, for example, what you will see is that the plurality of marriages in the United States happened post-pregnancy, meaning that there were a lot of seven-month babies happening in the 1940s, a lot of shotgun marriages happening because sex was connected to pregnancy, as it always has been. And for most of the world, still is, by the way. And it's only in the West that we've been able to scientifically uncouple sex from pregnancy, I think in many ways for a great moral detriment. But then it's not just Nancy Pelosi lecturing us about how sex works. It's Joy Behar. Again, I got to say, the people who are being brought forth by the Democrats to lecture Americans on how sex works, it's disturbing. And whatever is the opposite of a turn on, this would be it right here.
It's a very interesting schism that goes on here, because on the one hand, sex sells everywhere. I mean, you can't see an aspirin commercial without somebody having sex. Mm-hmm. You cannot turn on any program, especially on
except
streaming, where people are having this. There's soft porn everywhere now.
Right.
They encourage all of that. It sells everything. Sex sells. Yeah. And yet when it comes to the reality of pregnancy, this particular group of people on the right in this country and these religious zealots do not understand the reality of what happens when you have sex.
Wait, I'm confused. Maybe you don't understand the reality of what happens when you have sex, which is the possibility of pregnancy. Always and forever, unless you tie your tubes. So, like, I have to say, I'm absolutely bewildered by the perspective of the left that people on the right don't understand sex because they believe in human life in the womb. I'm pretty sure you guys don't understand sex because it seems like you think that sex is basically like kissing and that it doesn't transmit any sort of risk of pregnancy, sex, or that the product of sex, the natural product of sex, by the way, the entire evolutionary biology reason that sex exists, okay, sex does not exist as an evolutionary biological phenomenon, predominantly in order so that people can stimulate each other's nerve endings. It exists predominantly as an evolutionary biological phenomenon in order for the procreation of species. That is the dominant biological drive, right? That is why that is there. Okay. How they say that these are the people who are lecturing us on sex? Seriously? And really? Okay. Okay, so that's an argument they've been attempting to trot out. Alrighty, coming up, we are getting into the pro-choice positions against the pro-life position, and let us just say they are lacking. We've already heard that conservatives don't understand sex, even though it is the left that apparently thinks that sex and procreation are completely disconnected. They don't stop there. Also, they say that only women should have opinions about abortion, except that they also believe that some women have testicles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students, get your first 2 years tuition-free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, and our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left has a series of conflicting positions when it comes to abortion. One, they say that conservatives don't understand sex, which, again, is odd, since at least we understand that sex and procreation are inherently connected. But two, they argue that only women should be able to talk about abortion, even though they also think that some women have balls. You cannot simultaneously hold the position that trans men are men, trans women are women, and also that only biological women get to have an opinion on abortion. Those are not consistent positions. You cannot hold them. They are mutually exclusive. Okay, but in left world, you can hold whatever positions you want. They are the Kama Sutra of political positions. Any position you want, anytime. Here is Whoopi Goldberg lecturing us all on why only women should be able to speak about abortion. Even this makes no sense.
Do any of you men have any eggs or the possibility of carrying a fetus? How dare you talk about what a fetus wants? You have no idea. Now, I'm fine if you disagree with abortion. I have no problem with that. My problem comes when you tell me
what I need to do with my doctor and my family. How dare you? How dare you?
Okay, I've noticed that you guys don't have the same live and let live approach to any other issue in American life. You have to very live and let live when it comes to abortion. I don't care if you have a baby, but you can't tell me whether I can kill my baby in the womb. Also, you need to bake that cake for that gay couple right the hell now. Okay, so let's begin with the conflicts in this clip, because it really is indicative of how self-defeating the left position is on these things. So again, she begins with the proposition that men do not have eggs. The entire left now believes that men have eggs. Trans men are men, right? The clappy hand emoji. Hey, then, my favorite is that she just switches right over into, if you're not a woman, how can you speak for the fetus? Okay, we're going to have to stop you right there, Whoopi. All of us have been fetuses. I have been a fetus. You have been a fetus, Whoopi Goldberg. Male, female, all of the 300,200 genders, all of us have been fetuses at some point. So all of us could have a perspective on what a fetus would want. Also, I don't feel like it's such an assumption as to what the fetus wants. I will grant you that I may not know what a fetus might want in terms of, say, food taste. But I feel like a baseline thing a fetus doesn't want is to have somebody chop their head up in the womb and suck them into a sink. I have a feeling that's like that seems like a real easy one. Mainly because I'm not sure that any living creature is super interested in having somebody jab a syringe into them and pump poison into their veins so that they die and then are flushed down a toilet. I'm pretty sure there are not a lot of living creatures at all who are interested in that. So I don't think I have to be a woman to understand what a fetus wants. I think all I have to be is a baseline human being with a shred of decency to understand what a fetus wants. Again, not to have your body chopped up would be like number, that's not number 10 on the list. That one's like number one with a bullet on the list. Okay, they don't have it. It is just ire. That's all they have. They just have rage at the world and rage at biology and rage at the reality that there are certain burdens to being a woman that do not exist for men. And one of those burdens is, and when I say burden, I mean blessing. One of those massive blessings, the greatest blessing in life, is the capacity to bear and rear children. It is literally how the human species exists. It is how we move forward. It is the greatest, the degradation of what women are by the left to, well, you know, you're just treating women as incubators. No, you are treating women as incubators. I'm treating women as wholesome human beings who have a magical superpower to generate children, which is the greatest thing in life. Honest to God, I think that men should be jealous of women that they get to do this. You talk about God-given gifts and abilities. It's an unreal thing. It's an unreal thing. Having watched my wife be pregnant three times, give birth to all three of our children, it is an experience unlike any other. And I'll tell you something. My wife, who was, yeah, she had real pregnancy, morning sickness, and she had a hard birth the last couple of times. I can tell you, she is grateful for every moment of it, including the pain, because we got the kids at the end of it. And because it's an unbelievable thing, the degradation of pregnancy to, it's just a bad thing that happens, sort of like a bad bowel movement, is so disgusting and dismissive of what women are and what babies are. It really is a degradation of what life is. But this is, if your view of humanity is that true equality is women have to give up what makes women uniquely human, that women should give up what makes them uniquely human, and that any imposition on a woman such that she is not allowed to kill her own child in the womb is somehow an undermining of her autonomy, then your perception of autonomy is sick. There is something deeply wrong with your perception of autonomy. We're not talking about what she can do with her own body. We're talking about what she can do with the child inside her own body. Pramila Jayapal, for her part, was in panic mode, the progressive congresswoman from Washington State. Here she was yesterday freaking out over the Supreme Court.
It was a devastating hearing for millions of women across this country, for millions of people across this country who are watching the Supreme Court actually look like they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade and take us back into the days of back alley abortions. This is personal to me. I am one of the 1 in 4 women in America who has had an abortion. It was a very difficult choice for me to make, but it was my choice, Jose. And that is what we need to preserve for every person across the country that has to be in that situation.
No, that is not what we have to preserve, because in no other area of life, period, do we say that your choices with regard to other human beings' lives, whether they get to be preserved or not, is your choice. The fundamental position of the left for forever has been, and the right, by the way, of any humane person, has been that you are not supposed to other other types of human beings. Right? You're not supposed to say this group of human beings is not fully human, and therefore we can treat them however we want. That is legitimately what the left does with unborn human beings. They say this group of people are not people. They are not people, so we can flush them down a toilet. It is the greatest othering that is possible to happen. And it's quite vile. But pro-abortion activists, of course, were very emotional yesterday. Here were some of those pro-abortion activists getting upset yesterday.
We'll be asking protesters on both sides of the aisle what our country would look like without Roe v. Wade. Let's go see what they have to say.
It'll look like women going to jail.
A lot of women will die. Or they will be forced into a life of poverty.
A lot of women are telling me that women will die if Roe is overturned.
I think that's happening already.
It's really scary because it puts a lot of people in immediate physical danger. And I just don't want to see that happen.
It's putting women in physical danger to give birth to babies, as opposed to the 100% danger that is presented by killing the child in the womb. That is not a risk of danger for the child in the womb. That is a guarantee of death. Alrighty, in just one second, we're going to get to another argument that the left is now making. The pro-choice left, they are delusional. I have an article for you. Wow. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Homeward Bound this Saturday for Christmas for the Troops, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Join us as we package boxes to send overseas to troops who are deployed over the holidays. Adults $10, students with student ID $8, and kids under 12 free. Admission buys your lunch and helps offset the cost of shipping a package. Come help us send some cheer around the world. For more information, call Rob at 530-510-8210. Thanks, and we'll see you Saturday.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left is truly delusional when it comes to their pro-choice absolutism. They've already said that sex and procreation are completely separate. A lie. They've already said that if you're not a woman, you can't have a perspective on abortion, which again is sort of akin to slave owners saying that if you're not a slave owner, you can't have a perspective on ownership of slaves. And slave owners saying to people in the North, listen, you've never lived the life of a slave owner. So you don't know what it's like to live with a slave. You don't know what the slaves actually want. No, I pretty much do, and they don't want to be slaves. How about that? And now you get to the argument that the left is, they've forced themselves into a corner by embracing abortion as a moral good. Again, their early argument, which is that abortion is tragic and sad and is necessary in rare circumstances, it's not good enough for them. And the reason it's not good enough is because you can legislate around that. You can say, well, what circumstances are we talking about? And then you can weigh, as a legislative body, whether the circumstances we are currently discussing make some sort of excuse or justification for abortion in particular cases, and whether there ought to be legal dispensations, for example, for abortion in cases where a mother's life is in danger, which pretty much all pro-lifers agree there should be. Hey, but because they want abortion across the board, like beginning to end, 2 points of birth in the case of Ralph Northam in Virginia, sometimes beyond, because that is what they want out of this policy debate, they then have to downgrade all other possible choices. So we have to pretend, number one, that contraception doesn't exist, which of course it does. If you want to avoid pregnancy, I have a great pro-choice position for you. Either one, don't have sex outside the bonds of marriage. I know this one is really passe. I know we're not allowed to talk about the fact that premarital sex is actually not a morally good thing. Okay, that it is bad and it creates bad risks and downriver risks in terms of getting pregnant out of wedlock. I know we're not supposed to talk about that anymore because it's super passe to talk about baseline sexual morality in the society. But as somebody who did wait until marriage to have sex, and so did my wife, and now we have three beautiful children within the context of a stable and healthy marriage, I can safely say that the sacrifice was worth it because we have a stable and healthy marriage with beautiful children. Okay, but that is one way that you downscale the risk of pregnancy is don't have sex outside of a context in which you are okay having a baby. Okay, that is the number one way. Number two, we have birth control. This also downscales the risk of getting pregnant tremendously. You can do all of that. Birth control is widely available. You can get birth control right now. You can go down to the local Planned Parenthood. They'll give you a pill. They will give you a condom. You can go down to your local Rite Aid and do it too. You don't have to go to Planned Parenthood. And you can do all of those things. So they have to downgrade that. They have to pretend those don't exist. The only option for women is apparently to get pregnant and then use the murder of the subsequent child as the backup form of birth control. Okay, but then there's another argument, right, which the right makes correctly, which is, well, there is another option. If you don't want to have the baby in the sense that you don't want to take care of the baby, you think that it's going to ruin your life, you think that you want to pursue those 2,200 billable hours, you think you're too poor, you think you don't have your life set up, there's another option, and that is you could not kill the kid, and you could let the kid be adopted. And this option is taken by literally hundreds of thousands of people every year. And now the left has to downgrade that. That's how far they've gone in this direction. There's an absolutely delusional and insane psychotic article today from Elizabeth Spears, who's a Democratic digital strategist. It's called, "I Was Adopted. I Know the Trauma It Can Inflict." That's right. The left is so addicted to abortion that now they're going to pretend that adoption is bad. That's how addicted to abortion they are. They're trying to remove all other possibilities. So no marriage, no birth control, no abstinence before marriage, and now adoption is bad and creates conflict. Here is Elizabeth Spears. This is just psychotic crap. It truly is psychotic. Quote, "On Wednesday, as the Supreme Court heard oral arguments from state attorneys seeking to uphold Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, Justice Amy Coney Barrett kept getting at one question. Why was abortion necessary when women who do not want to be mothers can simply give up their babies for adoption?" Again, this is an op-ed in the New York Times. "As an adoptee myself, I was floored by Justice Barrett's assumption that adoption is an accessible and desirable alternative for women who find themselves unexpectedly pregnant. She may not realize it, but what she is suggesting is that women don't need access to abortion because they can simply go do a thing that is infinitely more difficult, expensive, dangerous, and potentially traumatic than terminating a pregnancy during its early stages." Wait, hold on. More difficult, dangerous, and potentially traumatic to whom? The entire left-wing position rests on the complete dehumanization of a preborn child. That's what it rests on. Right? Oh, it's so dehumanizing. I mean, here we have an option where the kid lives and just goes to another family that wants a baby. Or we have the option of you stab it in the face. Those are the two choices. And, you know, I got to say, it's really dehumanizing to say that maybe the baby should live and go to another family, says Elizabeth Spears. And this is, she's writing as an adopted kid. So how does she make that case? Because if her mother had made that choice, as Ronald Reagan used to say, the only pro-choice people who exist are people whose mothers chose otherwise. Right? As an adoptive mother herself, Justice Barrett should have some inkling of the complexities of adoption and the toll it can inflict on children as well as birth mothers. But she speaks as if adoption is some kind of idyllic fairy tale. "My own adoption actually was what many would consider idyllic. I was raised by two adoptive parents, Alice and Terry, from the time I was an infant, and grew up in a home where I knew every day I was loved. A few years ago, I found my biological mother, Maria, and three siblings I didn't know I had via a DNA test and Facebook. The first time I spoke to Maria on the phone," says Elizabeth Spears, "she lives in Alabama, not too far from my parents. I live in Brooklyn. She apologized repeatedly for giving me up, told me she loved me, and I would always be her family. You are blood," she would say later. "I told her and continue to tell her every time she brings it up, the apology is unnecessary. I had a wonderful childhood. I believe she made the right decision. But she remains heartbroken about the years we missed it together." Okay, so question. She remains heartbroken about the years we missed together. You know what years you would have missed together had she chosen to flush you down a toilet? All of them. There would be no years together. And guess what? Her heartbreak over giving you up for adoption? That is a downside risk to the massive upside of you being alive to write this op-ed. And okay, so back to this piece, again, in the New York Times, about a woman who was adopted, but thinks adoption is not the option when it comes to adoption versus abortion. Quote, "Both Maria and my mom, Alice, oppose abortion on religious grounds. My mom is white and Southern Baptist. Maria is Hispanic and Pentecostal. Both like to point to me to justify their beliefs, saying that had Maria gotten an abortion, I would not exist. It's a familiar argument. The anti-abortion movement likes to invoke Nobel Prize winners who might never have materialized, or potential adoptees who might have cured cancer if they hadn't been aborted at 8 weeks. I'm no Nobel Prize winner, but I still resent being used as a political football by the right." I noticed that you're here to resent it. That's the thing I noticed. You're here to resent being used as a political football because you're not dead. That's one of the things I noticed. "I believe that abortion is a form of health care and that every woman should have access to it if she needs it." Oh, do you? I love these sorts of euphemisms. "I believe that murder is a form of cooking." Just fill in the blank with some random, completely bizarre non sequitur. You know, "I believe that abortion is a form of sport. I believe that abortion is a form of art. I believe that abortion is a form of calligraphy." Like, what the? Healthcare for whom? Not the person you're killing. "Perhaps more than that, I resent the suggestion by people like Justice Barrett that adoption is a simple solution. I resent it on behalf of Maria, who found the choice she made traumatizing and still feels that pain 44 years later. Even when an adoption works out well, as it did in my case, it is still fraught." Wait, so let me get this straight. You are alive to resent the adoption of you on behalf of your mother, who wanted to give you up for adoption and is happy she gave you up for adoption and feels morally blessed that you are alive and that she didn't murder you. But you resent that you are alive on behalf of the mother who is happy to keep you alive so that you could lead a good life where you end up as a Democratic strategist pumping out garbage like this for the New York Times. honest to God, this is like a bizarre time loop from Back to the Future 2, in which you're alive to complain about the fact that you are alive. When I echo Maria in saying she gave me up, the language always rankles adoptive parents because it introduces an unpleasant complexity, implying that my birth mother was not completely happy with her choice, or worse, that it made her miserable. But that is sometimes the case, even when adoption is the best option for all involved. Adoption is not always an unalloyed good. It's a complicated choice in a situation that has no right or wrong answer. No, I found the wrong answer. It's killing you. That's it. Was it super hard? I feel like when the options are woman can keep child and struggle through the difficulties of raising a child as, say, a single mom, or woman can give up child to a two-parent family that is more prosperous and struggle with that decision. The choice that's bad is the one where you just kill the kid. That would be the wrong choice. So you have two choices, both of which have some costs on a personal level, and both of which have some benefits, but both of which have a pretty major upside, which is that you didn't murder the kid. That's it, like, do you understand the insane moral delusions you have to go through to come to a pro-choice position via this article? And yet, this is in the New York Times. If the court overturns Roe versus Wade, says Elizabeth Spear in the New York Times, many women will be forced to give birth to children they did not want and did not feel they could afford to support. Well, you know, they forced to give birth. The language of forced to give birth to children is so bizarre. It's so weird. Again, forced to get pregnant is one thing, because typically we call that rape. Right? If somebody is forced to get pregnant, that is a grave moral sin. Forced to give birth is, you mean, like, your body goes through the process that normally happens when you are, when a baby is conceived? You're forced to give birth assumes that there is, like, another natural option. There is no, the intervention is the termination of the pregnancy. It's sort of like saying water runs downhill, okay? And so if you take water and you put it top of a hill, and it goes to the bottom of a hill, and I don't stop that water from running downhill, the water was forced to reach the bottom of the hill. No, if you rechannel the water, you're performing the intervention. There's a massive logical fallacy right here. Forced to give birth? Nope, that's the natural process. Just as no one forces you to have a digestive tract that processes food, you're not, like, what are we talking about here? But this does go to the baseline idea that there's a fundamental underlying idea, which is that biology is force. These folks believe that there is a spirit in the machine and that any threat to that spirit of autonomy is an act of force and must be defeated. This is what unites the pro-abortion movement and the transgender movement, is the idea that biology is an obstacle to your greatest dreams and to your free-floating autonomy that is disconnected from your biological reality. But, says Elizabeth Spears, while pregnant, women will undergo the bonding with a child that happens by biological design as an embryo develops into a living, breathing, conscious human. And then that child will be taken away. Wait a sec. Hold up. Just hold up. I swear, every sentence here is just a gem of logical fallacy and insanity. So she's arguing against abortion. Let me read those sentences again. While pregnant, women will undergo the bonding with a child that happens by biological design as an embryo develops into a living, breathing, conscious human. And then that child will be taken away. Not taken away, you're giving it up for adoption. It's your decision. You could keep the child. Two, you know what takes the child away also? Again, I can't overstate this. You know what takes a child away and ends that bonding with the child? Killing it. Pretty good way of ending that bonding with the child. When I say, you make it sound like adoption is kidnapping. No, but I can tell you, what ends the biological design in which the embryo, you bond with the embryo and the fetus, that would be death. That ends that biological design. The right likes to suggest that abortion is a traumatic experience for women, a last resort, a painful memory. But adoption is often just as traumatic as the right thinks abortion is, if not more so, as a woman has to relinquish not a lump of cells, but a fully formed baby she has lived with for 9 months. Again, that's her decision as to whether she wishes to give the baby up for adoption. But the complete denial that there is another character in this story is the part that's truly galling. I'm a mother myself, says Elizabeth Spears, to an adorable 6-year-old self-proclaimed Fortnite expert, and is often the case. I did not know I was pregnant with him until the usual symptoms appeared a few weeks into the pregnancy. As anyone who has gestated a human will tell you, that's a romantic way of talking about pregnancy, gestated a human. There's a vast difference between the 4th week of pregnancy and the 40th. By the 40th, you're familiar with your baby's regular rhythms of kicking and moving. When I awoke, my son would wake up shortly after I'd feel him turning and stretching, or less pleasantly, jamming his precious little foot into what felt like my cervix. This is one of the paradoxes of pregnancy. Something alien is usurping your body and sapping you of nutrition and energy, but you're programmed to gleefully enable it, and you become desperately protective of it. It's a kind of biological brainwashing. And this often happens whether you want to be a parent or not. Right? She's just rebelling against biology. She's literally rebelling against biology. My own biology is telling me I should love my child. Damn you, biology, saying I should love my unborn child inside my womb, growing and learning to love me. How dare you, biology? This must be stopped. By the way, I assume that she's an abortion-on-demand fanatic, which means that even at the fourth, she says there's a difference between the fourth week and the 40th week. But I assume she doesn't want any legislation to protect the child at the 40th week. So, no. But that's so crazy. I'm sorry. It's so crazy to describe pregnancy as an experience where your biology takes over and forces you to love this mewling, evil leech inside your body. Are there a lot of women who feel this way about their kids? Really? I've yet to meet one. I've yet to meet one who feels that the child growing inside of her at week 30, when she feels the baby kicking and she knows it's a baby, that is a leech. She loves it, but she wishes she didn't love it. My God, truly, truly despicable stuff. Justice Barrett says Elizabeth Spears is well aware of the kind of biological brainwashing that occurs during biological brainwashing. Again, the natural process of pregnancy is not biological brainwashing. Brainwashing implies force. It implies Clockwork Orange style. I strap you down to a chair and I force you to watch propaganda. And that is not what we're talking about. Do you mean the natural process of childbirth? She does. Justice Barrett is well aware of the kind of biological brainwashing that occurs during pregnancy. She gave birth to 5 children, and yet she blithely seems to assume that a mother can simply choose not to bond with the child she's gestating solely on the basis she's not ready to be a mother or believes she is unable to provide for the child. No, you assume that because you assume she can kill it. She assumes the mother will be supported financially and otherwise throughout the pregnancy, even in a country where maternal mortality statistics are abysmal. She assumes that children surrendered for adoption will find a home and not a bed in the foster care system. No, she doesn't assume any of these things. Adoption system should be revamped and made better. But no, she probably assumes these things because she cannot fathom being in this position herself. It should be noted that Justice Barrett has 2 adopted children. So you're a crazy person. These are assumptions that stem from the privilege of being financially secure, having never needed an abortion, and perhaps the assumption that women who do have something that do have done something wrong and must face the consequences. Well, yes, I do believe that women who have abortion have done something morally wrong. Yes, that is true. That's the only part of this article I agree with. In my experience, some on the right believe that the trauma adoption inflicts is a consequence of irresponsibility, but unexpected pregnancy is not a de facto function of bad decision making. Like 99%, it is a function of bad decision making. It can be a failure of contraception, okay, in which that's true. Sometimes contraceptives fail, which is why you really shouldn't have sex outside of a context in which you're willing to get pregnant. The product of a rape, I know that's super controversial. It's only controversial in, like, the last couple of decades, by the way. Like, before that, all of human history, the notion that you should only have sex in context in which you are willing to get pregnant, that was a baseline moral notion for literally all of human history. But now it's very controversial. It can be a failure of contraception, the product of a rape. That's literally the only circumstance that you can talk about, by the way, in which it is legitimately, in which pregnancy literally has no relation to the activity of the woman, right, is rape, which is why it's the most controversial aspect of abortion law. A mistaken belief that a woman is infertile. There is no justifiable reason to inflict harm on women and the babies they might produce in any of these situations, regardless of judgment. Wait, who's talking about inflicting harm on babies? You're talking about why a baby shouldn't be adopted. A baby should be murdered. That is what you are talking about. The trauma doesn't just affect mothers either. Researchers have a term for what children who are adopted, even as infants, may suffer from later in life. Relinquishment trauma. Okay, I have another term for what babies may suffer in the womb when they're killed, and it's just called death. So if I have a choice between death and relinquishment trauma, I'm going to go relinquishment trauma. We'll get to more of this in a second. I go through this detail to demonstrate just how far the left is willing to go. This is how far they are willing to go. Abortion is so sacred to them, it is such a sacrosanct issue to them, that they are literally willing to say that it is better for a baby to be killed in the womb than to be given up to a happy family for adoption. Coming up, we're going to finish up this article from the New York Times. It is just a masterwork of delusional insanity. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000. Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're going through this article from Elizabeth Spears in the New York Times today, arguing that adoption is bad, but abortion is good. If you have a choice between adoption and abortion, you should go for abortion, according to Elizabeth Spears, who was adopted herself. Quote, researchers have a term for what children who are adopted, even as infants, may suffer from later in life. Relinquishment trauma. The premise is that babies bond with their mothers in utero and become familiar with their behaviors. When their first caregiver is not the biological mother, they register the difference and the stress of it has lasting effects. See, if you're separated from mommy, you get relinquishment trauma. I'm sure that's true. You know what else causes trauma? Being stabbed in the head. It's a trauma, as it turns out. Being injected in the heart with poison. Little traumatic. Being flushed down a toilet. These seem like slightly more traumatic things than relinquishment trauma. Says Elizabeth Spear, I probably got off easy in that respect, in part because I did spend a few months with my biological mother before I was adopted. But that had the unintended effect of traumatizing my older siblings, who remember me as a baby who was there and then suddenly was gone. This was driven home to me by my older sister, Bobby, whose first encounter with me was over Facebook. All I can say is I remember you, she wrote, and I have loved you and missed you my entire life. As opposed to if you had been murdered, in which case you guys never would have met at all. What Justice Barrett and others are suggesting women do in lieu of abortion is not a small thing. It is life-changing, irrevocable, and not to be taken lightly. It often causes trauma, even when things work out. It's a disservice to adoptees and their families, biological and adopted, to pretend otherwise in service of a neat political narrative. Nope, again, I think that the neat political narrative is that adoption in all of these cases is better than killing somebody. I know so just to repeat, the left has now said contraception is not enough. You need to be able to kill a baby in the womb. They've said that sex is not connected to childbearing, which, of course, is very silly. They've suggested that the actual imposition is your biological process taking place. They've suggested that adoption is a worse option than abortion. All of these things are things they are willing to suggest in pursuit of an end goal, which is that men and women have to be physically equivalent in every way, which is unbelievably degrading to women. It truly, truly is. If this is the world that you want to live in with the left, then here's the thing. You'll be able to live in this world after Roe versus Wade is gone. All you have to do is live in New York. All you have to do is live in California. You'll still be able to live in this delusional, crazy world. And guess what? You will bear the consequences of living in that sort of world. But at least fewer babies across the country will have to suffer death at the hands of people who believe these sorts of delusional things. The arguments that the left has been forced to make in pursuit of their totalitarian anti-life position, truly astonishing, astonishing stuff, and should be humiliating to them if they had one ounce of humiliation left in them. These are shameful, anti-human arguments. These are shameful, immoral arguments that are being made here. And they're taken as perfectly natural and normal and, in fact, morally good by the left. I don't know how twisted you have to be in order to believe that these are morally good arguments, that these are morally superior arguments, and the people who wish to preserve human life are the baddies in this particular scenario. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. U.S. intelligence finds Russia is planning a Ukraine offensive as early as 2022. And President Biden says he's ready to thwart any action.
An administration official who spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity said U.S. intelligence estimates the Russian offensive would include an estimated 175,000 personnel. Moscow is pressing Washington for assurances that Ukraine will not be allowed to join the NATO alliance. Addressing the Russian threat Friday, Biden said he's working on what he termed a meaningful set of initiatives
to make it very, very difficult for Mr. Putin to go ahead and do what people are worried he may do.
Biden could have calls next week with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Police are looking for the parents of a 15-year-old Michigan boy charged with murder, terrorism, and other crimes when he shot up his high school north of Detroit earlier this week, killing four people, injuring several others. Prosecutors say the couple are being charged with involuntary manslaughter. Lawyers for the family say the pair are planning to return to face arraignment. Meanwhile, Kelly Westbrook, the executive director of Oxford Downtown Development Authority, tells WXYZ the community will support the families of the victims in every way possible.
To the families that lost their loved ones, there are no words that any of us have. The only thing that I can say is that we as a community, we are here for you.
America's employers slowed the pace of their hiring in November, adding a still solid 210,000 jobs, the fewest in nearly a year. The Labor Department report also shows the unemployment rate fell sharply 4.6% down to 4.2%. More at townhall.com.
Your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pets' diet.
We started Dinovite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that helps support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have two cats and two dogs. All four of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Dinovite.com.
A pair of U.S. senators are urging new sanctions against Iran. over its alleged attempt to kidnap a U.S. journalist.
Democrat Ben Cardin of Maryland and Republican Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania have announced legislation that would place sanctions on Iran over its alleged effort to kidnap U.S.-based journalist Masih Alanjad. The senators say the bill would also discourage other attempted kidnappings on U.S. soil by foreign adversaries. Says Senator Cardin, quote, "If you dare to attempt to come to our nation and kidnap an American citizen, there will be dire consequences." The U.S. believes Alanjad was targeted for writing material critical of the Iranian government. Bob Agner reporting.
Oil giant BP will pay Indiana over a $500,000 penalty and reduce soot emissions from its Whiting refinery after regulators and activists accused the company of violating an earlier deal. The facility is located about 15 miles southeast of Chicago. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. An officer down in North Texas.
A Dallas area police officer has died and a suspect wounded in a shooting outside a supermarket. Police in Mesquite say the officer was responding to a report of a disturbance in the store parking lot when the man suddenly pulled a gun and opened fire, striking the officer twice. The officer was able to return fire, wounding the gunman. Jason Walker reporting.
A mostly white jury's been seated for the trial of a former Minnesota police officer who claims she mixed up her gun and taser when she shot and killed a black motorist, Dante Wright. Kim Porter's charged with manslaughter in Wright's death back in April. Potter is white and quit the force 2 days after the shooting. Be sure to check out more on these stories by logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
I've seen more of Dr. Fauci than I have my wife. We kid each other, but they look, who's president? Fauci. But all kidding aside, I sincerely mean it.
But all kidding aside, I sincerely mean it. You know, you never know what the guy's saying, but that's okay. It's not your fault. He never knows what he's saying either. Some might consider that to be a problem. CNN does not. The New York Times does not consider that to be a problem. I gotta tell you, it's like, I don't know, it reminds me of a joke about shaving your dog and having him walk backward or something like that. That's our president, not the brightest man in the world. The new jobs numbers came out today. They were miserable, horrible, less than half of what they had been telling us we should be expecting, what they were projecting, and still they lowered the unemployment number again. Honestly, it's like living in a Woody Allen movie. It's like bananas. Banana Republic-style government here in the United States of America, quite remarkable. Well, happy Friday to you, and welcome. It is, it's a crazy world out there. I just try to hold the pieces together best as I can. Remarkable things going on. Joe Biden spoke to the nation yesterday. He's quite confused and befuddled, and he says things all the time that aren't true. I went looking for the fact checkers today. I went to Glenn Kessler. He's speaking of shaving your dog, having a walk backward. He pretends to be a fact checker at the Washington Post. He works for Dr. Evil. And, boy, to say that they don't do their job would be a generous understatement. President Biden yesterday said some crazy stuff about how he was a liaison for the Israeli government in 1973 when he was actually in law school, working between Israel and Egypt for then Prime Minister Golda Meir, who was not prime minister at the time, and he had not been to Israel and wasn't there then. And it kind of reminded us of the time he said he was arrested in South Africa with Nelson Mandela or something, which never happened. And completely nuts. The guy's brain has been broken for years and years. And we just pretend it's kind of the old emperor has no clothes thing. We pretend that he's okay and everything's all right because, you know, the news media, they voted for him, so they're not going to tell the truth or anything like that. It's pretty crazy stuff. So we've got that going. Also, we've got more and more cases of the new Omicron variant that is, now ravaging the world. I think we have, six cases in the United States, and all of the symptoms are mild. But we should shut down the world and probably dig a bunker and move into it because, the new Omicron variant out of where is it out of? Where is this out of? Well, it's out of South Africa. That's not its actual point of origin. It's the first place that it was identified, and they very generously and appropriately notified the world, and as a result, they're being punished, whereas China is not, interestingly enough. A lot of accountability for, January 6th, there was a, I don't know if you heard anything about this, there was a little bit of a melee on Capitol Hill. It was mostly peaceful, though, you know, by the normal standard that is applied. No accountability for China, for what do we have now, Michael? More than 5.2 million deaths around the world attributed to the little virus out of the city in China, and it's called Wuhan. And they got the Wuhan Institute of Virology there where they study bat-borne coronaviruses. See if you can put the pieces together there. Probably not. I don't know. It's kind of tough. I've been looking in the Post for it. They haven't put them together. Gee, I don't know. It might have been from, the Wuhan sandwich down at the Wuhan wet market, which was closed for a while after this. But they reopened because, don't worry yourselves. Don't worry yourselves about it. But the fun people at the Babylon Bee, and this is great because it was sent to me this morning by a friend who's a Catholic priest. He's a Catholic priest, and he sent me. He's got a picture of a little smoke pipe coming out of the top of a building, and white smoke is billowing out of the pipe coming out of the roof of the building, and it says white smoke emanates from Wuhan lab chimney, signaling a new variant has been named. Yeah. Wahoo, 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 Wuhan. And a new variant. So we've got a new variant, and it's Omicron. And still no calls on Capitol Hill for any hearing. I think they announced yesterday they're going to have weeks of hearings next year because it's an election year up on Capitol Hill because the Democrats are in charge about January 6th, but nothing about the three-day siege laid to the White House where more than 150 federal police officers were injured and where Democrats set the historic St. John's Church on fire, the Church of the Presidents. And that thing where they tried to tear down the statue of Andrew Jackson in the middle of Lafayette Park, they brought duffel bags full of equipment in an effort to accomplish that. They pre-positioned bricks, brought in crates of frozen water bottles to throw at the police. M-80s, those are an eighth of a stick of dynamite fireworks thrown at the police. No plan for hearings on the three-day siege laid to the White House. You know, Washington, D.C. was buttoned down. We battened our hatches. Home Depot didn't have enough plywood to board up all the windows of the storefronts and the hotels and the businesses and the apartment buildings and the homes in Washington, D.C. because the left was threatening to riot if President Trump won re-election in handy fashion. They were going to burn the city to the ground. There will be no congressional hearings about that. There is no investigation into that. There's no FBI investigation into that. There have been, how many arrests have there been, Michael? It's hard to say. They might have been a couple, but nobody paid any attention to them. And I know one creep, radical lefty. You look at this guy, looks like a ghoul who should live under a bridge. He might live under a bridge, actually. And he was arrested for part of the Lafayette Park tear down the statue of Andrew Jackson effort. And I think that he got a little, I think they gave him a manicure and sent him home Remarkable stuff. Oh, speaking of which, you know, the Democrats, they're still looting across the country. One of their favorite stores is Louis Vuitton. They love that Louis Vuitton. Everybody, now when you see people walking around American cities with Louis Vuitton purses and bags and stuff, you should ask if they looted them. Because did you buy that, or was that one of the... Because, you know, the looting is rampant. It's quite normal now. The Democrats are doing that, just by the way. It's a Democrat. It's a nationwide thing. It's a plague. Like the Wuhan Red Death out of Wuhan, China, where they have that Wuhan Institute of Virology, where they study bat-borne coronaviruses. But just don't make the linkage between the two. Babylon Bee made the linkage. They might be in trouble. They might be canceled, the Babylon Bee. White smoke emanates from Wuhan lab chimney, signaling new variant has been named. See, that's a reference to a new pope being named for people, you know, Democrats listening along. Dog is their co-pilot, you know. And so that's got to explain these things. Remarkable stuff. And we learned, I've got a story for you today, one of the many stories about the crazy Democrats and all the violence and the mayhem. No congressional investigations. And they're not looking into the origins of the virus that is, 5.2 million deaths attributed worldwide to the virus. No congressional investigation. They're busy not looking into that. I don't know what the thing is with that. And more than 700,000 Americans' deaths have been attributed to the little virus out of Wuhan, China. And no congressional investigation. They're not planning on holding hearings. But January 6th, where Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed by a Capitol police officer, is the only person that died that day. You remember the Democrats, they made up stories about Officer Brian Sicknick, who tragically died the next day at a hospital of a stroke. They made up stories about him being bashed in the head with a fire extinguisher by Trump supporters. That was a lie. They made that up. You know, like Russian collusion. That was a lie. They made that up. Like Nick Sandman of Covington Catholic in front of the Lincoln Memorial was a bad guy with chief cheekbones. You know, they made that up. That was all that stuff is made up. In the meantime, you know, pay no attention to the flyover massacre, as I like to call it, in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The flyover massacre is not only gone to the back pages, it's gone to the no pages. That's not a story that they're covering. Pay no attention to that at all. And the murder of Kevin Nishida by Democrat rioters in California last week, shot to death. Pay no attention to that, because no congressional investigations. He was supposed to be, he was shepherding a TV news crew while they were covering the looting, the Democrat Party looting, organized crime. And there is a story that 14 looters were arrested, and they were all released essentially immediately without bail so they could loot again, because Democrats, you know. Homicide record in 2020, up 29.4%, the biggest increase in 100 years. Pay no attention. We just learned day before yesterday, record number of police officers shot and killed in 2021, and the year is not over. Record number of police officers in the United States shot and killed. Democrats, you know, Democrats shooting and killing police officers, war on police. But that's not really a news story. I didn't find it in the Washington Post. It's not in there. They don't actually cover the news. They uncover it. As they bragged a few months ago. You know, Michael, I think they stopped using that slogan, haven't they? Others cover the news, we uncover it. Like 7-Up is the Uncola. They uncover it, yeah. And riots are now normal from coast to coast. Looting is now normal from coast to coast. Democrats, all Democrats. No congressional hearings on that. Interesting. No FBI investigations in it. The FBI is not investigating. They're busy not investigating all of this. What happened to the FBI? I remember it was a Jimmy Stewart movie and a Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. TV show. Now it's just an engorged appendage attached to the body politic of the Democrat Party. It's quite extraordinary. Yes, it is. So we got a lot of things going. And Joe Biden, well, I want to get into some of this, a lot of this Joe Biden stuff, because his brain is no good. Can I just say that? Also, Alec Baldwin, he did the interview with George Stephanopoulos. They have music under it. It's a drama. Really, it's very romantically lit. And his acting is so good that a body language specialist was brought in by the media and determined he was telling the truth. See? So, has he won an Oscar? Is he an Oscar award-winning actor? Surely he's gotten Emmys for that TV show. He's an award-winning actor, anyway you slice it. And the body language expert said, oh, yeah, he's telling the truth, honestly. And he said not only did he not pull the trigger, but apparently there was a gunman on the grassy knoll somewhere behind him. And but he's got news stories, and it's they're muddying the waters so that there will be no sorting it out. Also, Juicy Smollett, have an update on Juicy Smollett. He says that he can't be prosecuted. I've got that coming up, too. And the reason is really quite wonderful. Amazing stuff. Jobs numbers, Jen Psaki, why all the looting. Turns out it's the COVID. And guns. It's guns. Not a lot of guns in the looting, but Jen Psaki's got all the answers. Great stuff. Joe Biden's brain, she's broke. And a whole lot more. Also, we're raising money today for the Fisher House Foundation. Wonderful organization. And I'm going to be sharing information with you about that as well. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Attention Americans age 65 and older. The Medicare annual enrollment period ends December 7th. Now is the time to select your Medicare Advantage plan for 2022. Get ready for an important toll-free hotline where you can get your free 2022 Medicare benefits review. Do you currently have a copay, a high deductible? Do you pay extra for dental and vision? Are your out-of-pocket expenses just too high? If you answered yes to any of these, then call 800-991-2534. A SmartMatch licensed insurance agent can help you compare plans, which can include $0 copays, $0 deductibles, even $0 premiums, plus dental and vision coverage for no additional cost. Having the wrong Medicare plan can cost you thousands. So call today before annual enrollment ends on December 7th. The service is free, with no obligation. So call today. Call 800-991-2534. That's 800-991-2534. 800-991-2534.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Your power chewing dog runs through toys like they're going out of style. That's because weak toys aren't their style. They need something tougher. Your monthly subscription from Bully Make is packed with ultra durable toys and healthy treats made here in the USA, tested by tough chewers and delivered every 30 days. All backed with a satisfaction and durability guarantee. Try your first box at 40% off. Go to bullymake.com/radio now.
Bully Make! Tougher toys for tougher play.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. And what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. It really is remarkable. There's more than 400,000 members now who have shared more than $4 billion in medical bills, so they can handle your bills too. And here's the thing, if you join before December 15th, they'll waive your new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second, but call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline, December 15th, so call now and you'll save even more. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing the first ever daily fantasy sports book, Stat Hero. Stat Hero puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be. one-on-one. Go to stathero.com/bonus. Sign up for free and use promo code BONUS for 100% deposit match. What do you have to lose? That's stathero.com/bonus. Use promo code BONUS for 100% match on your first deposit.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
All right. As I mentioned, we are we do this once a year. Been doing it for a great many years now, helping to raise money for the wonderful Fisher House Foundation. And you can contribute by calling 888-294-8560. Also online at wmal.com/Fisher House, the mothership. And with that, let's go to Tish Stropes right now. Tish, thanks for joining us. Tish Stropes is the Vice President for Strategic Initiatives with Fisher House. Tell us all about your experience with Fisher House.
Well, good morning, Chris. Thanks again for all you and WMAL are doing in support of Fisher House. Again, this year we're thrilled to be a part of it. I actually run several programs at Fisher House, our Hero Miles program and our Hotels for Heroes program in support of the great men and women serving this country and those who have served. Our Hero Miles programs, we get families to the bedside of our wounded, injured, and ill service members, and for those who are continuing their recovery process, we're able to get them to different events that support that. So instead of them having to say, you know, I can't go get treatment because there's no way for me to get there, we're helping in that process and making it possible. And our hotels program, anytime there's a Fisher House that is at capacity or full, instead of having to tell a family, you know, we're sorry, we don't have room for you and creating a burden, we are able to put them in a hotel and take care of them until a room at the Fisher House opens up. So wow. Continuing the mission, but just in a mobile sense.
Wow. Well, tell the nice people about the kind of interactions that you and or Fisher House has with family members and we're talking about combat wounded people who are still in a great many cases dealing hundreds of thousands of combat wounded over the last 20 years. And also families, military families dealing with cancer and with difficult pregnancies and premature babies. And give us an example of the kind of interaction Fisher House has with individuals or families.
Absolutely. As you can imagine, you know, a lot of these families are dealing with some of the most difficult things they will ever experience in their life. I remember working very closely with the Allen family, Chaz and Jessica Allen. Chaz in the military, unfortunately stepped on an IED, was blown up and lost his legs and part of one of his arms, his elbow. And we were able to get Jessica bedside within a day after that having happened and him being sent back from Afghanistan after that happened. And, you know, this was a family, two young kids. They were living in Tennessee, and she, Jessica, the wife, wanted to keep some kind of normal, you know, normalcy in their life. And so what we did was once a week we would send Jessica, you know, she would spend a week with her husband Chaz, and then she would fly home and spend a week with the kids. And we did this for over 8 months, sending them back and forth, trying to, in this darkness, in this very difficult time, still trying to, you know, keep some part of their life, you know, normal. The girls were able to have their mom. Jessica was able to get home and take care of some things at home, but still be there for her husband, you know, on those off weeks. And an amazing family. 10 years later, they are doing great. Both of those girls are now in, one is in college, one is in high school, and really continue to be caregivers to their father. But being able to help them with those flights back and forth, they stayed at the Fisher House. They were able just to walk to the hospital and be by, you know, their husband and dad's side whenever Chaz needed them. And he, really important, was able to come and stay at the Fisher House and have, you know, the closest thing to home that he could have at the time as well.
Right.
And really helped in that life transition.
And so many thousands and thousands of stories just like that one, and also accommodating, helping families if a member of the armed forces is dealing with cancer, as I mentioned. You know, there are other issues as well. You know, premature babies and so many issues related not just to combat injuries, which are an enormous part of the Fisher House mission, but other needs of members of the military, too. Tish, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. We've got a total right now of $261,300. Please contribute, 888-294-8560, WMAL.com/Fisher House.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m., on KCNR, 1460 AM, or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join Homeward Bound this Saturday for Christmas for the Troops, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Join us as we package boxes to send overseas to troops who are deployed over the holidays. Adults $10, students with student ID $8, and kids under 12 free. Admission buys your lunch and helps offset the cost of shipping a package. Come help us send some cheer around the world. For more information, call Rob at 530-510-8210. Thanks, and we'll see you Saturday.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General, producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Yes, Joe Biden came out yesterday, and he is, boy, he's really something. His brain, she's a brook, she's a no good. But the media, they like it. They, you know, when you're a Democrat, you get a free pass, honestly. As I've said before, you could impale a basket full of babies on the spikes of the White House fence out front, and the New York Times headline would read that you're reaffirming a woman's right to choose. You could set your press secretary on fire like she's a Buddhist monk. And they'd say it was time for some change at the White House. Speaking of which, you see everybody quitting on Kamala Harris because nobody can stand working for her because she's so awful. And they got Simone Sanders, who was a Bernie Sanders spokesperson. And she's a radical. She's a big lefty. And she's fleeing now. Two additional Kamala staffers are fleeing the sinking ship that is the SS Kamala Harris. And, God, maybe they want Pete Buttigieg to run for president in 2024 instead of Kamala Harris, even though they're telling us that Joe Biden's going to run in 2024 for re-election. They know it's not true when they tell us that right now. And the media knows it's not true, but they whisper and they say, well, it's what we're saying for now. And it is what they're saying for now. And Kamala is so awful. Everybody knows it. Ask Willie Brown, where her political career began. And, she's just awful. And people are fleeing and it's a sinking ship. So now they're saying, well, maybe Pete Buttigieg will run because, you know, he's got a nice smile and, he could, do dentist commercials on TV. So that's really the standard that we have at this point. And then the media takes it from there. You may remember Joe Biden never left his basement during the campaign. And when he did, four people showed up the few times that he did. Four people showed up, and the news media just gave tight camera shots to make it look like there were a lot of people. Remarkable. And then he won. And then he won the presidency, and there was no controversy. I saw that in the Washington Post. There were no improprieties of any kind. Nothing suspicious at all. It was remarkable. And he got more votes than any president in history, more votes than Barack Obama. From the Democrats because, you know, they're racist. They're pretty racist. So in any event, Joe Biden, yesterday was talking about, the COVID. It's perhaps you've heard something about that. And he said some pretty crazy stuff. He said crazy stuff. You know that we've had more people die from COVID in 2 years than yesterday. Well, what was it? 2 or 3 days ago was International AIDS Day, HIV AIDS Day. In the United States of America, the number of people of deaths that have been attributed to COVID-19 has now outpaced the number of people that have died of AIDS in 4 decades. More than 4 decades, slightly more than 4 decades. And, you know, that Anthony Fauci was the guy in charge of the AIDS thing, too, in the early 1980s. That's where he cut his teeth, where he made his bones, where he became famous, you know, a TV celebrity, and where the media first fell in love with him. And, you know, he should have gone with lockdowns, I think, and quarantines early on in the AIDS crisis, and then everything would be different. But he didn't. What's with that? And now we've got more people that have died of COVID in 2 years because a virus came out of Wuhan, China, because the communists were playing with biological warfare, and then something happened. You see, you know, a lot of things, something happened. In fact, Babylon Bee has another funny headline on this. Because they've got the smoke comes from the chimney at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, meaning another variant has been named. White smoke, another variant has been named. It's a little papal, that's a papal thing. And also they've got the Babylon Bee, I went to their website this morning, and it made me laugh. They've got a sign at the entrance where you drive into the city of Wuhan, and the sign says, "Welcome to Wuhan, birthplace of COVID." And so they got the sign there. And the Babylon Bee, it's a satirical online newspaper. And they're funny, unlike The Onion. And the headline says, "Wuhan beginning to rethink newly installed sign reading birthplace of COVID." that's funny. Also, they've got the Babylon Bee, they're on fire, they're en fuego. Their headline has got a scientist in a lab coat standing next to a sign that says, "It has been 00 days since accidentally releasing a virus." That's the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And says, "Wuhan lab changes sign to 0 days since accidentally releasing a virus." That's funny stuff. You know, when they're communists are killing millions and millions of people, it's important to keep your sense of humor. It is. All right, so let's go to soundbite number one, because Joe Biden yesterday was talking about it. And again, no investigation, no hearings on Capitol Hill. The FBI is not looking into it. The CIA put out a phony baloney report months ago that said, gosh, we're not sure. It might have come from the, Ozzy Osbourne table at the Wuhan wet market where they're serving Kung Pao death. Maybe it came from there and 5.5 million people. Sorry, I don't want to embellish. 5.2 million people have died. More than 700,000 in the United States. More than have died of HIV AIDS in the United States of America. Tony Fauci on the case in both instances, by the way. So here's Joe Biden yesterday. He laments the fact that the WHO has been politicized. And it's terrible. Remember that the Democrats for a while back there, the media was very focused on Democrats in mostly Oakland and New York, attacking Chinese Americans and Asian, well, Asian people in the United States of America. And the news media was really hell-bent on blaming that on President Trump. And it turned out it was pretty, as Dave Chappelle pointed out in his excellent special on Netflix, pretty much all black guys. You know, no MAGA hats, no nothing like that, none of that going on. I got a Jussie Smollett, speaking of which, update for you coming up as well. So here's Joe Biden yesterday. And he's really upset that somehow, he doesn't know how, the COVID, the WHO has become politicized.
It's a plan that I think should unite us. I know COVID-19 has been very divisive in this country.
He's got a plan.
It's become a political issue, which is a sad, sad commentary. It shouldn't be, but it has been.
Yeah, it has been. You has been, too. It shouldn't be politicized. But it has been. Now, how could, what is that, the beginning of that soundbite was, I don't know where that came from, but that, you know, that's, there it is, the President of the United States, he lamented yesterday that it has become politicized, and he doesn't know how that happened. I don't know, let's go to Peter Ducey talking to Jen Psaki on Wednesday at the White House, just day before yesterday, talking about, you know, how President Biden said he was promising to shut down the virus, and then Jen Psaki launched a political attack against their political enemies who do not obey.
Whatever happened to President Biden's promise to shut down the virus?
We're working on it, Peter. The president will talk more about what we're going to do tomorrow, but we need the American people to do more who are not vaccinated to help us continue to fight the virus.
Yeah, it's the American people's fault that Joe Biden, because, you know, vaccinations, it's very important. Now, I'm operating from home this week, and because I've tested positive twice for the WHO, and I'm fully vaccinated, isn't that? Well, you need to get boosted. You still get the WHO when you're boosted. LeBron James, I think he's at home because he's vaccinated, and he got the WHO. In fact, Jen Psaki herself was at home a few weeks ago because while she was fully vaccinated, she got the WHO. I'm guessing she was probably boosted, too, because, you know, they're all getting carjacked and stuff down there. Boosted. I love this. We've got a new lexicon for every phony news story that comes along. And boosted. Jen Psaki, I had it. Dan Bongino comes on after me in many stations across the country, fully vaccinated, and he got the WHO. You know how many people get the WHO even though fully vaccinated? Great many. That's how many. So there's Jen. She's, well, it's your fault because you haven't been vaccinated. As though that's the miracle cure-all. If you're vaccinated, you won't get the WHO. I think that I can personally attest to the fact that that's not true, and so can Jen Psaki, since she was fully vaccinated when she got it. And let's ask LeBron James. There was another funny Babylon Bee thing the other day. What was it? Because he got the WHO, he got the COVID, LeBron James did. And it said something like, the headline was something. Yo, yes, it's the only thing that LeBron James got from China that wasn't made by slaves. That's... Was that the Babylon Bee again? I might have been. Yeah, that was, the only thing that LeBron James got from China that wasn't made by slaves. Because, you know, he gets rich off of the slaves making the shoes and stuff. And he doesn't stand up for human rights. He complains, slavery in the 1800s when Democrats were in charge, which he's unaware of. So Joe Biden, he laments the politicizing of the WHO. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Now, let's go, because, you know, that it goes on and on with these people. They're quite ridiculous, these people. Here's, Ducey asked, Joe Biden, said the other day, there are more deaths, since Joe Biden became president. And he said, you know, he ran on, Trump isn't getting the job done with the WHO. He got the three, Operation Warp Speed. Where's Operation Warp Speed for treatments? Where's Operation Warp Speed with all the pharmaceutical companies, the manufacturers, and the White House around the big table with the president while he pounds the table and tells him how it's going to go? That's not happening. But under President Trump, Operation Warp Speed led to, at a record never in the history of the world, have we come up with one vaccine, much less three vaccines, in the short period of time that we did while President Trump was pounding the table and getting stuff done. But here comes, once again, Peter Ducey, the only member of the White House Press Association, Correspondents Association, he asked Jen Psaki, who also was fully vaccinated when she got the WHO, more people have died under Joe Biden, and Joe Biden said he's going to fix it. So what's up with that? You know, and Joe Biden, he laments that this has been politicized.
In 2020, when roughly 220,000 Americans had already died of COVID, Joe Biden said about Trump, anyone who is responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America. Is that still the standard now that more Americans have died under President Biden than President Trump?
No.
Well, I think
twice
the fundamental question here is, what are you doing to save lives and protect people?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And the
coming
former
up with
president
vaccines?
Was suggesting people inject bleach.
Inject bleach. It's the old inject bleach. Now, if you just Google fact check Trump inject bleach, you'll find that everybody from National Panhandler Radio to Putin Television, everybody, the New York Times, even Glenn Kessler and his gang of frauds down at the Washington Post, declared that Trump never said anything of the kind, completely fake. But she's politicizing it the same week that Joe Biden is lamenting that the virus has been politicized. And now let's take a little walk down memory lane, which is something Joe Biden can't do. He can't walk down memory driveway. He can't walk down memory front steps. And he might fall down if he tried. Joe Biden, September 2nd, 2020, while he was campaigning.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You're going to be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. I'm not being facetious.
He's not being facetious because it's Trump's vaccine. So who's going to take it? And then in record speed, Operation Warp Speed, three vaccines, world record in all three cases. Once again, America and American pharmaceutical companies saved the world. However, you get the vaccine, you still get the woo. The symptoms may be less severe. Then let's go to August 6th of 2020, even before that, because Joe Biden, he was poo-pooing, downplaying, dumping all over the vaccine because Trump, you know, and he was politicizing it.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Uh-huh, that's right. So why would you trust it? Kamala Harris talking to her pal Dana Bash, whose husband was working in the Obama administration. They're not married anymore. Kamala in 2020.
President Trump has promised a coronavirus vaccine by the end of the year or maybe sooner. Would you trust that vaccine?
I think that we have learned since this pandemic started, but really before that, that there's very little that we can trust that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Yeah, so that's right. And you heard Dana Bash saying, would you trust, that's their teeing it up. Nobody should trust it because it's the Trump vaccine. And yesterday, Joe Biden lamenting that the virus has been politicized by you, by Kamala, by Dana Bash, by the media, by the Democrat Party. But I repeat myself.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
With violent crime on the rise across the country, life is more dangerous than ever. It's time for safer self-defense with Taser, the perfect non-lethal sidekick to your self-defense arsenal. Taser's energy weapons can stop threats before, during, and after you pull the trigger. Designed for home defense, your daily commute, and everywhere you need to keep your family safe, take the Taser Pulse Plus. From 15 feet away, it can lock up an attacker's muscles for up to 30 seconds, so you can escape safely. And when paired with your phone, the Taser Pulse Plus alerts emergency dispatchers with your GPS location as soon as you pull the trigger. And when you have to fire yours, Taser will replace it for free. Get the same Taser technology trusted by police officers across the country since 1993, giving you the confidence to pull the trigger and safer self-defense. Get Taser Pulse Plus today and save 15% when you go to Taser.com and enter promo code HOME. Spelled TASER.com, promo code HOME. Supplies are limited. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Staying healthy isn't easy, especially during the holidays. Watching your diet, staying active, managing stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and effortlessly adjusts to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Bring proven quality sleep home for the holidays. It's time for our Cyber Week special. Save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds and adjustable bases. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Where can I find a must-have laptop at a gotta-have-it price?
With Staples Connect, it's possible.
I need a holiday tech gift for my husband that will make his jaw drop at a price that won't drop mine.
Also possible, because Staples Connect has big savings on the best holiday tech. And now, a Lenovo IdeaPad 5i with Intel i7 processor is just $649.99. You save $250. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com. Ends 12/4, limit 2, in-store only while supplies last.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug ranitidine may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac, Zyrtec or other heartburn medications for several months, dial #250 on your mobile device now and say the keyword payment. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Dial #250 now and speak the keyword payment for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation. Just dial #250 now and speak the keyword payment. That's #250 and speak the keyword payment.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Yes. I'm being told now that LeBron's positive was a false positive. Doesn't matter, though. Probably got his test kit from China, too. All right, listen, today we're helping to raise money for the Fisher House Foundation, the wonderful Fisher House Foundation. The phone number is 888-294-8560. You can also go to WMAL.com/Fisher House to contribute money. And joining us on the telephone right now, right there on the telephone, or telephonically, as they say, is the president of the Fisher House Foundation and the Fisher House Foundation's very first employee, and that's Dave Coker. Dave, hey, buddy, thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for helping to tell the story, Chris.
You bet. You know, nobody tells it better than you do, Dave. And Dave Coker, career Army officer and married up with the Fisher House Foundation, as I said early on, in the Fisher family, the very first employee. And I don't think you went from, you know, like pushing a broom to becoming president in one fell swoop. You made your way through the ranks, and now you're the boss of the whole place. Now, what do people need to know about the Fisher House Foundation? And people are thinking, well, gosh, isn't the war over? We had the catastrophic Biden pullout from Afghanistan. But what do we need to know?
Well, number one, that there's still a need. Life happens. And you know, being in the military, serving in the military, is still a dangerous business. It was just back in September when there was a helicopter crash off the coast of San Diego. And there were, unfortunately, five sailors lost their lives.
Right. I remember.
But the first thing that happens is those service members are identified as missing. And when they're missing, that's not a status that the military recognizes where they can bring the family in. Right. And be there awaiting news. And so in this case, we partnered with another great military nonprofit, and we brought the family members in so they could be close by. And for 4 or 5 days, they were conducting the search. But the place for the family to be was as close as they could get to where their loved one was lost.
Wow, that is an amazing story. I remember I remember when the helicopter went down. I remember the long period of time that they were, and you know, you know you keep hoping for the best, but after a day or so, when they're still defined as missing, and hope fades. And I was not aware of the fact that left the families ineligible for various accommodations. And Fisher House stepped right in, and that's an extraordinary example. And we were also we were talking earlier with Tish Stropes and talking about a service member that was hit with an IED in Afghanistan, lost both legs and one arm, and. Of course, we have a great many of our service members that are still dealing with long-term medical issues and dozens of surgeries that go on for years in many cases, and very, very often young families and young children. Tell us about that, Dave.
I'll tell you, it's very common for the doctors to try limb salvage. And they have multiple surgeries trying to keep a leg. And I've had the privilege of being in a hospital room when an Army reservist made the decision that you know what, I'm going to have a better quality of life if you just amputate my leg. He had a daughter who was 2 years old, and he just said, with the advances in prosthetics, I'll be more mobile. I'll be able to be more a part of her life if you just go ahead and take this leg off.
Wow.
And you know, you need to be there to support them as they make these tough decisions.
Wow. Absolutely, absolutely extraordinary. Dave Coker, saluting you, my friend. I hope to see you in person again next year. So far, we've brought in $269,467. And the phone number is 888.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.